I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
When you pull up in the front, you see Benz on dubs. When you roll 20 deep, it's 20 knives in the crud. Ah, I'm starting over. One more time. When I pull up in the front, you see Benz on dubs. When I roll 20 deep, it's 20 knives in the club. Friends from the neighborhood heard I fuck with Dre. Now they want to show me love. When you sell like Eminem, the hoes, they want to fuck. But homies ain't nothing. Change, hose down, G's up. I see exhibit in the cut. Hey, friends from the neighborhood, roll that weed up.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy with Tip podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we are in the house on a Sunday.
Yes, we got some special rapping going on over there.
MC Peanuts, the dulcet tones
back
of
in
MC
the house.
Peanut,
y'all know y'all missed her.
It's our girl Amber, who you may know from well, she kind of came out of the closet on the last one, so you may know her from Black Chick Watching, or you might know her from Black Sexy Geeky and Mental. What's going on?
No.
Oh, so I wasn't supposed to say, I'm sorry, guys. That's okay. Neither one of those podcasts are related. It's all made up. that is now, the secret is, the cat's out the bag. I can't believe that. I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
You know what? Let's just do another whole another podcast and just pretend this one never happened. Well, Amber, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm cool. I have an echo, but
you have an echo on your side?
Hold on. Maybe it's gone. Yes, and it's gone.
There we go.
So, repeat the question.
How you doing, man? What's going on?
Oh, it's a whole thing. So I'm doing okay, I guess, but I'm supposed to be doing this. Okay, so first of all, let's go back in our Wayback Machine. Your girl, Amber P. Knight, is going to be doing press at Dragon Con. What, bitches?
Yeah.
So that's very exciting. 75,000 plus people, and who's going to be in the press? Amber P. Knight, chilling, trying to not embarrass herself and everybody else, because you know I'll bring us all down with me. So I'm very excited about that, but I need to do a fundraiser to get there. And so I put together this Indiegogo thing, but it's not done. And it's been days. And I want to crawl into a ball and never leave that ball ever.
Now, what is it hard to do one of those Indiegogo things? Like, what's the hold up on it?
It's the wording and the video. Because, like, the stuff I have now is too, like, clinical sounding, and I need it to be engaging, and I have to have, like, this cool video that makes people go, yeah, I want to give her all my money, and I haven't done that, and it's like, oh, so it's a whole thing, and it's like, if you don't start off right, then maybe you don't get featured. Because they sell you a load of bull. Let me explain something. So what these things do, they're like, oh, this small business had an idea for a widget, and then they got $250,000 for it. And it's like, oh, well, I'm going to go way above it. And all they wanted was like $17.55. And this is what happened to them. It's like, ah. And it's like, that's not how it works. But unless you're going to do it. So I want to have a really good campaign so that they, you know, pick me.
Well, you know what's weird is, like, with is it you're like worried about the perfection of it? Like you're like, I want to have the perfect pitch and the perfect like words, and I want people to click this and just be like, here's some money. Or is it like, you know, a systematic thing where you're like, they won't even like show my shit if it's not perfect?
Well, both. Because it's one of those things where, like on dating websites, you know how they'll have the most gorgeous people you've ever seen in your life on the, like ads and stuff. And even when you sign up, it's like, these are people in Boston, da 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 da.
Right.
And then you get into the guts of it and it's like, really? So if you want to be one of those people that's on the ad for the dating site, you gotta, you know, come correct right out the gate. And so, if I put up a schlubby thing and then they see it and they're going to be like, schlubby, next. But if I don't put anything, okay, so I have a story about knives.
Okay.
Not the, you know, knives that Fitty was doing, But okay, so check it.
The knives that the character from Scott Pilgrim.
Right.
No, not sure. Not the character from Scott Pilgrim. Okay, all right. What kind of knives are we talking about?
It's okay. Okay. So my dad used to take our steak knives and like use it for gardening or as a screwdriver because he's a he. Mm-hmm. And so my mom got so sick of it, she started to hide them. And I was like, okay, why are you doing that? It's like, because otherwise we won't have any left. And it's like, well, if you're hiding them, then we're not using them. Mm. So either way, we have no knives. Right. So now it's like, well, I can get the perfect pitch, but there's nothing for anyone to go to right now. Mm. Or I could wait and there's, you know what I mean? If I start now, it's like, and if I don't start, then it's like,
Well, how long
I've made so many life choices.
How long do you have to, like, come up with this, you know?
Well, it starts in 3 weeks, so yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty fast, man. And how long does it take Indiegogo to get you to run your coins, you know what I mean?
Well, they can do it so that you can get it all while it comes in.
Okay, that's good. Okay. Well, yeah, man, get on that, man, so we can tell everybody to give you your money. You know what I'm saying? We want to see you go to DragonCon.
I'll put up what I've got today. I'll record something today, and then I'll make it pretty tomorrow.
Yeah, can you like update it and stuff like as it goes, so you don't have to like, okay, that's cool. Yeah, you need to totally be out there, and we want to help you get there, man. What all kind of stuff do you have to like pay for to get out to DragonCon?
Oh Lord. So there's travel. So the plane and travel while there.
Mm-hmm.
And food and blow.
Yeah, of course.
I'm gonna need what else?
What about lodging? Like where you staying?
Oh yeah. That too. Still don't have that set.
Right.
So that's great.
Yeah, that's man. Great. We wanna help you get there, man. And I think our audience and all these podcasts that, surround, us and stuff, we all root for you and we all want to, help. And, we need to get some black people in the building at DragonCon so they can know, what's going on exactly with black chicks, especially, like some of this representation in different media that's going to be there. And, depending on, who the press is, a lot of people don't really look at. It's not just the media that's there, but the questions that get asked are based on who the press is.
That's true too. Yeah, certain questions aren't asked, and it's DragonCon is in Atlanta, right?
Yes, in Atlanta.
So
that's right.
Aaron from Black Astronaut is
he'll be there. Yeah,
and Deep Pond from Movie Trailer Reviews will be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's other people going to be there too. So you'll run into some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're having a meetup.
Oh shit, that's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? We had a meetup in DC and it was so awesome.
It was fun.
Like, it's, getting to finally meet fans and friends and people like that, man. It was so dope to get that love because I know, especially with you doing your show solo, it's like you're just in the room, you have your headphones, you have your microphone, you're talking, pouring your soul out to the universe. And if you connect with people, it's, normally it's more like someone on the internet or someone, a Twitter or a Facebook message or something, you know what I mean? But to like see people to the face, it's like, holy shit, this is real, So yeah, for sure, man. I definitely want to, aid in anything we can do to help that out.
Yeah.
So
let us know once you get it up.
So yeah. We'll add it to the show notes if you do. That way we can, direct people to where the money need to go.
So people give you them coins.
Yeah. All right. Before we get into any more stuff, I have to talk with Amber. Okay. Let me introduce this show. Okay. This is the Blackout Tips podcast. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher and we promise we'll read them. If you're not in America, let us know what country you're in and we will find that, 5-star review and we'll read that too. We got one, from Japan today, Karen. So can you write that down? Because we're gonna need to remember that Saturday. Because
I've started favorite it.
Because there ain't no way I'm gonna remember that shit Saturday.
Oh, me either. I immediately favored it because I was like, she was like, I left it in Japan, but I don't know if you can see it. I was like, well, thank you for telling us. We have to go find it.
Mm-hmm. Konnichiwa is what I say. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Come on. But yeah, you can leave 5-star reviews and we'll read them as long as they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball.
Extreme.
Mm-hmm. Boom. And today marks day. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't realize the sound effects were going to keep going. Sorry about that. brought to you in digital 3D. Today marks day 606 that Bobby Schmurder's been locked up in jail. Mm-hmm. Well, $2 million bail that has not been lowered while not going to court either. If he don't get convicted or something, dog, years of your life gone. Oh my God, I can't even imagine. Like, he better be guilty. You know what I'm saying? Like, at some point it's just like, y'all got me in here so long, I hope I go to jail. Just so, for the time served, okay? We're also sponsored. We are triple sponsored today. We're brought to you by Shadow Dog Productions, the maker of fine handcrafted audio plays. They got a new album out, this one by 2-time guest of the show, Jenna Rose Simon. You may know her as sassy white girl teenager that got really, really passionate about the Divergent series and Twilight. I just remember I don't even remember how that came up, but I just remember that 10-minute like monologue where she read them for filth, and I was just like, okay, I never watched any of those, but I won't be now.
check even won't now because look like they were so bad. They was like, you know what, we're just gonna make out a TV series.
Yeah, she I put that on her. That's the power of Jenna Rose Simon. She read them so good, they said this last Divergent movie is going straight to TV. There's no way the kids will accept this. But yeah, check out her family friendly lighthearted collection of audio plays on iTunes. It's called Favorite Laughs and Other Fun. You can also just search her name, Jenna Rose Simon, and they are curious how many people, if any, prefer to buy audio media from other means. So hit them up on Twitter at Shadow Dog Pride if you would prefer to get it on like Amazon instead of iTunes or something like that. Just let them know. So all right, and we're also brought to you by, that's right, Bevel. This episode is brought to you by Bevel, the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com today and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. That's GetBevel.com. And lastly, we are brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right, nerds. This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate, which is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT, enter offer code TBGWT, and you can get $3 off of any new subscription. This month, the theme is anti-hero, so it's going to have a bunch of stuff from people that walk the line of morality for their own goals, you know. The loot crates start off at less than $20. You get 6 to 8 items, and all you got to do to get that $3 off, more than just the 20, so there you go, you get $3 off with code TBGWT. All right, guys, let's get into some show stuff. All right, first of all, Amber, what you been watching lately for Black Chick Watching?
I have to check my show.
Oh.
to see what the topics were. My mind is a sieve.
Well, have you seen?
I just saw.
Yeah.
What was that? The flying thing. It's not Star Wars. It's the other one.
Star Trek. Oh yeah.
I just saw that.
Okay. What'd you think of that?
After I woke up, I thought it was really interesting. But for the parts I was asleep for, which were basically credits to credits,
ouch!
It was a thing. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was nice to see, you know, Zoe there. You know, yay! But okay, so I had this thing happen. There's this chick, and she is my favorite chick in the whole franchise. But I couldn't tell what race she was.
Mm.
So I didn't know how hard to rock with her. because she was in makeup and wig and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a thing. It's like if she were a black girl, I was going to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she wasn't, but I was still like, she's the best thing in this movie. And I love her. So, yeah, I've never wanted to take out my phone and be that girl so much and look up what she is. Mm. But yeah, she was my favorite part. The rest of it was kind of boring.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I didn't like about Beyond was actually that, I mean, because I think when J.J. Abrams wrote it, the romance between Spock and Uhura was actually like more involved and funny. Mm-hmm. And like they had arguments and stuff, but they also, but it was like cute couples arguments in the middle of like firefights and shit. And yeah, you know, and I kind of enjoyed that element. And like her storyline was kind of like, I don't need you to fucking protect me. And also you can't be afraid to love me. And it was like, you know what I mean? Like, and he did love her, and he was conflicted, and he did want to be with her and all this shit. This one, it felt like they kind of like started on an argument, and then they just dismissed her for fucking an hour and 50 minutes. And then they kind of come to the end and they hug.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, was she filming Simone at the same time? Was she washing off makeup during most of the movie? It was ridiculous.
There's
no fun here.
It was not a good movie.
I just pictured her in the Simone makeup in between scenes. Like, no, not yet. I have to get dressed up for my other show, and then we can do something. But yeah, they scaled her part back so big, in my opinion. Which I guess totally makes sense because Justin Lin directed this, and he's like does the Fast and Furious franchise and stuff, so he probably
don't know how to write women very well.
Yeah, and
that
I know
that makes so much sense right now. Everything makes so very much sense.
And I know that for a lot of Star Trek fans of the TV show, which I was a fan of the Next Generation a little bit, but I'm not really Star Trek in general.
I'm not a fan at all.
Were you a Star Trek fan, Amber?
I watched Next Gen and Deep Space.
Okay, yeah. So I think to a certain extent, this latest movie felt a little bit more episodic, like an actual TV episode, a little bit. But that was not what I liked about those first two movies. It was like the opposite of what I liked about those movies.
And like I said, for me, before we get like the angry letters, because I know Star Trek and Star Trek, you know, these people, they take their shit very seriously. Like I said, I personally, neither one of those was my cup of tea. So initially, I wasn't going to watch the series because any of them, because I was like, it just wasn't my thing. But when I was like, JJ did it, I was like, in all things JJ, I trust.
Right.
So that's why I loved the first two. But a lot of the people that like the original series, well, depending on who you ask, a lot of people that like the original series, they just did not like the first two movies at all. But a lot of them, from looking on the internet, liked this one, and I didn't.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if we're going to go back to the original one, I'm tapping out the rest of them then if we're going to do this, because that's not my cup of tea.
I understand. Yeah, it's closer to the TV series in my opinion, but that's not what I wanted to see in the theater.
Nope.
But yeah, I did like Jayla, the new addition, but as Amber said, I didn't know if she was black or what. She's some kind of brown, but I don't know that she
was. Yeah, she is. Turns out, spoiler warning, she's Algerian and French, so Middle Eastern.
There you go. Ooh. So, and I did like her character. And I hated the fucking last action scene and how they won with hip hop music. That
made me want to flip a table. Word.
Come on, dog. Only
I was like, play Public Enemy again. Please play Public Enemy again. And then they played Sabotage. You don't know how I feel about my Sabotage. I play it on repeat sometimes. That is my jam. And I was like, something to live for in this movie theater. So I loved it. I didn't know something was happening on screen. I was jamming.
I felt so manipulated as an audience.
Yes, sir.
Just so easy. Oh, fuck them. Fuck them forever for that. I was like,
word.
Yeah, it's like when a movie's like, we know we can't be good, but what we can do is put a song you like every 5 or 10 minutes, and then you'll fucking think this was a good movie. That's how it felt to me. Where I walked out the end, and I was like, oh yeah, I guess it was, oh wait, no, I just really like those two songs. Fuck you. That movie wasn't good. Beat the aliens with the power of hip hop.
Right. And you know what, I'm with Amber. If I would have liked the Sabotage song, I probably would have been like, okay, cool. But because it's not one of
I like Public Enemy. Yes, and I still did. Felt the same way though, cause it was like, nigga, you cannot beat aliens with the power of hip hop in the year 4557. Like,
somebody made a good point. He was like, with all these movies that do that, it would be like us listening to medieval music.
Right.
Like, no one runs around doing that.
It doesn't make sense. You clearly manipulated the audience. You sons of bitches. Sorry. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I feel like Justin Lin just Googled, like, most popular hip-hop songs and was like, okay, we'll put both of those in. And then if people don't like the movie, they won't understand that we just fucked with them. At any rate, hey, have you seen the World of Warcraft movie yet, Amber?
No, I don't even know what state that is.
Yeah. All right. I just thought that one was an interesting movie because it has Paula Patton in it, mm-hmm. and Ruth Negar in it.
Who's that?
Okay, Ruth Negar is, I don't know. Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Okay, she's Raina from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. The black chick.
Yes.
Yeah, and the black girl in Preacher.
Yeah, she's in Preacher but Amber hasn't watched Preacher yet, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
But she's in Preacher as Tulip, who's like the main.
I don't know what Preacher is.
Yeah, it's based off a comic book called Preacher. It's a TV show on AMC. It's 11 episodes. And
this is the one you told me about.
Yeah.
I think I added it to DVD. DVR.
She's awesome in that. And then in World of Warcraft, it was essentially a movie with two black women in it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, obviously Paula Patton was like playing a half troll, half human, so it was like green makeup or whatever, but I still a black woman in real life. And Ruth Negga's in there too as like the queen, so it was like kind of an interesting take. So I don't know if you ever get a chance to check that out, but it was just like, I don't know, I walked in there just thinking like, here's a video game movie, I'll see it just so we can review it,
right?
And when I walked out, I was like, huh, who knew them black women was in there? Like,
and it wasn't like the best thing ever, but it wasn't the worst either. The action was like so intense.
It was just weird because it was just like, normally in those universes, like they'll put like one black dude in there with dreads and make him a knight or something. And normally, you know, and then like the black woman that was the queen and the sister of the main protagonist and the love interest was a black woman. It was like, okay, this is good for you, World of Warcraft. No one saw this coming.
Very diverse.
I doubt this is in the video game. I'm just gonna go on a limb and say it's probably not in the video game.
I haven't played, so I don't know.
Gamergate has never, written articles about you, so, good for you guys in this movie. All right, let's see what else we gotta get into. Okay, this is a little bit serious, guys, okay? I hate to do this, but I have to address some things that happened on Twitter with me yesterday.
Okay.
Of course, everybody knows yesterday was National Left Handers Day.
Yes.
Don't trust those people.
Yeah, oh, you son of. Anyway, as a left-handed person,
make sense.
Yeah, I received so much backlash because you know I just brought up that people need to check their right privilege yesterday, and I hope they would take the day to kind of explore their right privilege, you know, because, you know, whether it's scissors, whether it's when I write and I have ink on the bottom of my hand, because everything in America is designed to write from left to right, and ooh, notebooks open the opposite way. And
they do, unless you buy one.
Yeah, unless you go to a leftorium or something, where are you supposed to get tools for you, you know? Even things such as, you know, things people take for granted every day, like the desk when you sit down as a kid, like there might be one left-hand desk, if that. And then when the right person sits in your left-hand desk, oh my god, like the fucking privilege seeping off of you, you know, like just go sit in the desk that is designed for you and let me have my space that I deserve, that is to make me comfortable. You don't need that part of the left arm rest. You don't need that. I do. So there's like that kind of stuff. And it was so many people that were responding to me yesterday. And I mean, even some left-handed people that were being like, oh, this is not a big deal. I mean, I was raised to just adjust to these, to right people and stuff. And I was like, dog, that's just right supremacy coming out of you. And anti-leftness, like, just because you've adapted to it doesn't make it okay. Correct. Okay, and don't bring your self-hate to me, you know what I mean? Let that go. Like, you need to, that's your thing to deal with. But on National Left-Handed Day, you don't tell me that I can't speak out. This is our day, okay? And I stand in solidarity with all our ambidextrous people, or bi-manual, I don't mean to insult, okay? But I stand in solidarity with all the other people that want a day. But if you are right-handed and you come up like, what about National Right-Handed Day? Man, fuck you. You have every other day of this year. Every other day. We get one day and then you want to do all hands matter when I'm fucking talking about the left hand. Well, we talking about the left hand right now, and we matter too. And I don't appreciate some of this backlash, man. I know some of y'all thought it was funny, but why the joke gotta happen to left hand people? People trying to blame us for left-handed people that didn't do, you know that James Harden is left-handed and he shoots too many shots in the NBA. Yeah, well, did you ever think about this? Donald Trump is right-handed. Do you feel responsible for him? No, because of right privilege. That's all it is. So y'all need to back up off of us and let us celebrate. Like, if you're an ally to us, then why don't you have some solidarity and let us southpaws, and only we can say that, only we call each other southpaws, so don't you come in try to say that, that's our word. But you can stand in solidarity and support left-handed people and let us know that, you know, use your right privilege to like spread, to signal boost us, like retweet some of our things. You know, I had a lot of people coming out of the closet with their hands because they were taught as kids to write with their right hands. Right? Like, and this is a real thing. This happens all the time. Like, people are, basically they are told as kids that the orientation of their hand is wrong, and then they are basically drilled out of it, you know? So a lot of people are living a lie. Like, they're using their right hand because to fit in, but then when they play sports, they have to play like left-handed, or, you know, whenever it comes to something natural, like, oh, I want to use some scissors. You gotta, that's why y'all scissors shit be all fucked up. Your lines all fucked up because you're using the wrong hand. And I've told people to retweet it, you know, to come out of the left-hand closet, man. Let people know that some of your favorite people, Raina April, she left-handed. You know how many people have been talking bad about left-handed people? I had no idea that Raina April is a left-handed person. You know, all the anti-leftness that's in our society. I mean, writing. Come on. Right? Right? It means correct. Right? Right? Am I right, guys? And then when something's wrong, oh, it's way out in left field. Oh, that went left. Sinister literally means left-handed in Latin. I mean, these things are just, there's so much in there. And I appreciate everyone that retweeted pictures of their children and stuff, because there's a lot of people that they're right and they live in the right world, but then they have children and the children are left-handed. And then now you got to think about things from a different perspective, you know. And I appreciate the people that said, you know, it took me having a kid that was left-handed for me to understand the hardships that y'all experience. And now I stand in solidarity with you. And I say thank you. You know, I appreciate that. You know, I had a friend, one person said, as a right-handed person, if I came to class late, I would have to sit in the left-hand desk. And I said, now imagine how, right. Exactly. Now imagine how that feels all the time. That's how we feel all the time. Not just when we sit in the wrong day, all day. Everything we do, even when you get in a car, things are oriented for you to have to manipulate shit with your right hand. All the important shit, you have to manipulate with your right hand, you know? But I try to tell people out of solidarity, right hands and left hands, it's not about saying right hands don't matter, okay? But when you want to applaud, you have to have both hands together. And that's what we're trying to do, is bring both hands together. You can't clap with one hand, right? So I'm trying to join into society the way that I always have. But, you know, for the people out there that, you know, want to fight back to some of this white supremacy, please, you know, speak up. You know, if you're out here passing for right, but you were basically demonized and forced into using your right hand, yo, let people know, man, because it wasn't right what happened to you, okay? And nothing's wrong with using your left hand, okay? So I just want people to know. And if you're feeling personal about this, you're feeling some kind of way because we're having a segment on our show and it's not about you, check your right fragility, okay? I know a lot of y'all think, oh, this isn't about me. Something must be wrong with this segment of the show. No, okay? This is my intersection. Yes, I'm a black man, but I also experience some anti-leftness in my life as well, okay? You know, I'll get on the basketball court and people be like, oh, that's a good move. That's my natural hand, son of a bitch, okay? It wasn't a good move. That's just the way I do. When you make a hand layup with your right hand, I don't say, what a great move. Because I know that's just the hand you're dominant with. So there's a lot of little stuff, man. You guys need to check yourselves. That's all I'm saying. All right. And don't be coming in here trying to make jokes and stuff. All right. This is serious.
So I just want to say, I'm like an eighth left on my mom's side. I don't have any problems with left, people per se. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who would come over. We'd watch her like a hawk, but she could come over though. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like I couldn't play with her. And if I had a daughter and she brought home a left guy, what about the kids? You know what I mean? I don't think that's really fair.
A lot of people wonder about Karen. They were like, how can you be so pro left and you married to a right woman? And I'm like, First of all, love doesn't operate that way, but you know she gotta be woke in order to be with me because I'm not gonna let it slide. No anti-leftness is sliding up in here. Okay, so she had to learn to be accepting, and now I still have some issues with her family, you know, like, there are people in her family that don't accept my hand orientation, and you know what? Forget them. I don't need them in my life. But everybody...
Watching you people whipping Nay-Nay is you hilarious, people. By the way.
You people?
Don't know up from down. It's great. Mm. a lot of this, you know, tons of things. I like that side of the brain. I mean, it's fun. I had a phase in college, like, whatever. Who cares?
This is what we have to live with. People that don't see hand orientation and things of this that just try to erase us. You know, that right erasure that we have to deal with. I'm just glad people can see it illustrated right here on the podcast. You know, someone tried to say, yeah, our girl Miss Smart was like, well, animals, I don't see no left-handed animals. Animals are 50-50 when it comes to handedness, okay, guys? Yeah, so don't listen to these lies out here that people are telling you, and whether you're learning it from church or through some stupid internet memes, animals are 50-50 with handedness, guys. All right, so don't try to tell us that, oh, it's wrong. Only humans are this. Only 10% of the population with humans are left-handed, but we don't know what our numbers would be if people would just leave us the fuck alone so that our kids could be left-handed. And we need allies, people. We need right people that are willing to stand up in the classroom and say, don't tell that kid to write with their other hand. You let that kid be left-handed, okay? I had to block so many right people yesterday. It was just it was just amazing. We will not be silenced though, okay? That's what I'm saying. Anyway, left on, brothers, left on and sisters. All right, guys, let's get into some new stuff. I'm sorry I had to make it so serious. Blake Shelton, I'm gonna save that for white people news.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what, let's talk about black people shit. Chris Brown,
what he done did,
he won big in court.
Oh shit.
Against his baby mama. That's right. You guys may know Chris Brown from such hits as Hitting Rihanna.
Oh, no.
You may also know him as throwing a chair through a window on the Today Show. You may also know him from internet antics and stalking Kariuchi Tran. And some of you may even know him through music. I don't know. Hey, who's to say, right? Oh, you, you might know him from dancing. I don't know. I don't know how you guys know him. Anyway, he won in court big time over the child support case. Apparently, Nia Guzman, who's the mother of his child, lost in every single request in court for custody of her 2-year-old daughter, Royalty. She wanted full custody. That was denied. She wanted Chris to have monitored visitation. That was denied. She wanted to deny Chris's mom the right to see the kid. That was denied. She wanted Chris to submit the drug test, and that was also denied. The judge maintained the status quo, joint custody. Chris continues to get Royalty 12 days a month. And when she filed her legal documents, she asked for a change in custody, and the judge ordered Chris to pay her $20,000 so she could afford a lawyer. But she lost this case so hard that he actually said she wasn't entitled to the money and gave Chris a credit back for the money spent. And she also wanted $16,000 a month from Chris for child support, and she's currently getting about $2,500 a month, and the judge denied that, and she dismissed her support petition. So she lost in every single way to Chris Brown in court.
Does the judge not...
How old is their kid?
Like 2, I believe.
I have a question.
She lost 2 years and 10 months ago.
That's true. Yeah. However long. Yeah. Yeah. Karen, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I was about to say, does this judge, like, not have any background on Chris Brown whatsoever? Like, nothing. Like, you just separated from just the world.
I mean, maybe they don't have Instagram or social media, you know.
But apparently, they are separated from everything because his actions and the things that he's done.
Does
show that he's a responsible person?
I mean, well, okay. He has had several runs in with the law, and by several, I mean a lot. But I'm assuming that when it comes to being a father, you would have to prove somehow that enabled his ability to be a father. Like, she would need some kind of something that happened with the kid or something, or, you know what I mean? Cause like, that's like saying if someone's a criminal, they can't see their kid. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the court, like, that seems like a slippery slope to be like,
okay,
you were convicted of some shit a while ago. So anyway, you can't have custody of your kid. Even though you've never done anything to this child or anything involving the child.
Okay, now from that perspective, I don't see how she got denied all her requests. Like, I could see some of them being denied. Like, I could see, like, the mama, what does the mama got to do with anything? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It's just
like some of the requests I could go, nah. But some of them, I guess, for me, and I don't know anything about him personally, but for me on the outside looking, they go, no, you don't. Like, yeah, you can go visit the child.
What we see is a crazy ass life of a celebrity.
Right.
We don't know her life.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, we have no idea. Like, to me, this reminds me of when Paul George, you guys probably don't know much about him, but Paul George, the NBA player, he got a stripper pregnant, and she had the kid. And in his petition for custody, he tried to be like, she a stripper. It's like, nigga, you fucked her. You knew she was a stripper. And it's kind of like that with Chris Brown, where it's like, but you knew it was Chris Brown. Like,
that's true.
I don't know how you can really play the, oh, he's not fit to be a father, when it's not like, it wasn't a secret like last year or 2 years ago when you fucked Chris Brown, who Chris Brown was. Just like, I don't think it's fair to be like, this woman's a stripper, she can't be the mother of this child. I think unless they prove something that they've done that has in some way harmed the child or harmed their ability to parent, I don't know how you just take somebody's kid. Like,
that
because that's essentially what she's saying is, I'm pregnant, he should never be able to see the baby, and I want $16,000 a month. Like,
okay,
you're gonna have to prove why.
Okay, explain like that. Yes, like, yes, she would literally, she would literally have to have proof that there was some kind of harm or danger
to the child. The
child was in his presence, and or around his mama, right, and around his family. Like, and if she can't prove that, okay, I understand. I still, to an extent, and maybe this is because most of the time, society kind of goes towards, most of the time it goes towards women, except for men that have money. Then a lot of times everything goes towards them. So I'm kind of biased towards that, because I'm like, okay, like, if she'd have had the money to fight, how would this would have panned out versus...
Well, see, even in this case, he provided her $20,000 for her legal defense. Like, he was forced to pay for her lawyer or whatever. So it's not even like a matter of, because I'm assuming when this first hearing happened, they were like, okay, so you don't have resources and Chris Brown does.
True.
That's not going to be fair. So
right.
Hire a good lawyer. We'll have him pay for it so that you have as much evidence and whatnot that it would be required to have a vigorous defense of, you know, wanting him not to be around this kid.
Okay, yeah.
And I mean, I think people just don't want to accept it because we have a negative connotation of Chris Brown. And
yes.
I mean, every time I see him in the news, normally some bad shit.
Right.
So, it's hard for us to accept that might not, that might not inhibit him from being a good father. It might have to do with that.
Right.
Also, we don't, because she's not the celebrity, we're not all up in her business. We don't know anything about her on that level. And we don't, you know, cause it could be enough evidence for a judge to feel like, okay, this is an extortion type thing. Like,
okay,
need $16,000. He does want to be around his kid. He does want to provide for his kid. He does want to pay for, all the necessities for his child. Like, this isn't the stereotypical case of like a athlete or celebrity who's like, I ain't taking care of that kid. Fuck you, bitch. And then, you know what I mean? Like, and then trying to come in at the last second. So, I mean, and she still gets the kid, 18 days a month as a mother. She still gets $2,500 a month. And I'm sure that stuff will change as the kid gets older too, because you're going to want the kid to go to like private schools and things of this nature. But as of right now, as it stands right now, I mean, she lost on her request basically to keep him out of that kid's life, or at least have him monitored when he's around the kid. So.
True.
I don't know. I hope nothing bad happens to the kid, because then everybody's going to go back to this moment and be like, that judge fucked up. And I hope he is a good father, because that's probably the best case scenario of all this shit.
You know what? I really do too. Yeah. As shitty of a person as I think he is, or as he's betrayed to be in the media, I really do hope this. From my perspective, like I said, you don't know what was brought up in court, and you know, because like I said, we're kind of out of that mix. So we don't really know, you know, what each side kind of things they put forth. To an extent, I understand, you know. I just wish he just wasn't a shitty public person.
Yeah. Well, also there's certain shit you can't do anything about. Like,
that's true too.
She's still his kid, you know what I mean? It's like R. Kelly got a 19-year-old girlfriend now. Everybody is like, ugh, but there's nothing that can be done about two consenting adults wanting to be together. Like, we just all get to go, I hope nothing bad happens, and that's as much as you can say, really. The Weeknd. You guys know the Weeknd, the artist?
He's got crazy hair, right? I've never heard anything.
Yes.
He looks like an ocean.
Yeah, he does. It looks like a wave. You guys have heard something about the Weeknd.
He's on Beyonce's song.
He's on 6 Inch. You know, he's the one that's like stepping over money everywhere she go.
Yep.
And then he also made the songs for 50 Shades of Grey.
Soundtrack.
Yeah. It wasn't the whole soundtrack. It's just, the titles, like the song that they played during every fucking commercial for years.
Wait, for before that movie came out?
Yeah, like I think that song even won an Oscar or something, because it was just everywhere. That's him. He gave $250,000 to Black Lives Matter.
Oh, look at him.
On Twitter, he said, enough is enough. It's time to stand up for this. We can either sit and watch or do something about it. The time is now. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. And he's 26 years old. It's $250,000. You know, he's been supportive of it on Twitter and whatnot. So, and he gave it to, I believe, the organization of Black Lives Matter. So not just, you know, the media will call everything Black Lives Matter.
Everything.
Right.
Could have gave it to me, but Black Lives Matter. I am not associated with that, but they don't give a fuck.
Yeah. So, you know, good for him, man. You know, we don't often get to cover good news on here. So shout out to The Weeknd, our Canadian, brother, who's giving his money so Navy Karen can lay off of his hair now. But I doubt it. All right. Here's a really, really sad story, guys. All right. So are you guys excited for the Birth of a Nation movie with Nate Parker?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am.
All right. Yeah. I saw the trailer. I'm excited for it. But as with everything on the internet, receipts are kept for everything. Okay. So there's a couple things that came out about him. One, he's on record saying like some really homophobic stuff about not wanting to play a gay character as a black man. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes and just turn down the roads. Don't say nothing. Don't publicly say nothing. Just turn down the roads, dog. Keep it pushed. Don't nobody know until you publicly come out and say something.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely said, I mean, and I know that this is a thing that a lot of black men have, like, tried to say conspiracy wise, you know, oh, you can't be a black man without putting on a dress, can't be a black man without playing a gay character, you can't. And, you know, I've always found that to be, like, kind of limiting any, like, in thought process is limiting, because what is wrong with comedically putting on a dress or playing a gay character? I don't understand why we are seeing those as less masculine things. Gay people are also, they're gay men. They're still men. It's not like,
come on now.
You're gay and you're not a man.
So I have a black chick watching thing to say about this.
Mm-hmm.
So during the commercials, the movie commercials, before the boring ass movie I just saw, it was for a Vin Diesel movie where he has X's on his neck. And so a lot of shooting, a lot of blowing up and all that stuff. And then at one point they're like, we have everything, the money, the girls. And they have the obligatory coming out of the water crotch shot thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's all these, you know, bevy of hoes everywhere. And none of them were black chicks.
Mm.
And there's two things about that. One, good, because they're not being portrayed as property. And two, that's not why they did that. They didn't say, we respect black women so much. We're not going to portray them as hoes in this movie. It's like, why would anyone want to come to this to see sexy black women like that exist? So when it comes to something like this, I understand. I feel like if somebody says they don't want to play a gay character, that's probably a little more clear cut than they probably have issues with gay people.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a matter of, it's usually a swishy gay guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're playing a black woman, it's usually on some, I do have a problem with that, not the cons.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I don't have a problem with black women being sexy, there's a difference between being a sex object and a sex symbol. Mm-hmm. And I think it's humanly possible to be a black man in a dress and be hilarious. I traveled from Boston to Pennsylvania to go see Tyler Perry back when he did theater. Judge me if you want. But I get that. I think it's funny. I laugh at it. I don't like the movies, but, you know, that's a thing. But I do think that there is a degree of trolling full-figure black women, and that it is, that it's a thing. Mm-hmm. And when white men do it, it's not a reflection on white women, but when black men do it, it's usually a type of character that if it was played by a black woman, I would have a problem with that character. So it's not a matter of just, again, in context, I think that it's not Hollywood saying anything goes and we love these people, so we need to portray more swishy black gay men. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, this is funny, because look, they got the Negro thing going on, and they got this finger snapping going on. That's great. And so, yes, squishy gay black men exist, but again, it's not, we need more representation of this. It's like, no, this is funny. We think this is a trope, so let's do more of that. So that's my 2 cents.
Well, here's my thing. His reasoning is like, this is in an effort to preserve the black man, I'll never play a gay character. No, that's bullshit.
Well, yeah, that, like I said, when something like that, I don't think it's as nuanced as what I just said. I think he just has an issue with
it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I'm not, like, because there's acceptable situations where I could see somebody having an opinion of, like, you know, like Dave Chappelle, I'm never wearing a dress to play a comedic character. I find that I'm funny this way, period, and I don't think they would ask this of any of other actors on the set. Like, that was Dave Chappelle's thing, was like, would you ask a white actor to put on a dress in the same situation rather than just do some type of gag in the prison and we make a joke about it? And because of that, he refused to put on a dress in this one scene. And he was open to talking about that. I can understand that, although I don't find that to be about necessarily emasculating somebody as much as it was about lazy ass, uncreative writing. And I see as an artist why people would take a stand on that. But some of these responses to even the cross-dressing shit is more for an actor, is more about this idea that you're making us less of a man, and that, you know, and this represents how people feel about all black people. And to me, it puts artists in a box, because it's like, if you do want to put on a dress and you are funny and I laugh, cool, like that's all that really should matter. I hate that black people have to take on this mantle in their art of having to represent all black people. It's not fair. It's just as oppressive as, because the end result is the same, like, feeling of oppression to me, is, which is, there's a wrong way to do your art as a black person, so don't do it that way. You know what I mean? That being said, in this particular case, I don't know how, I just can't defend somebody's, like, this is lessening black men by actors playing gay characters, because you're essentially saying gay people are, gay black men are less of black of what black men are supposed to be, and that's bullshit. That's number one. That's actually the easy one.
Okay.
Yeah. The second thing is that came out is he was accused of rape in college, right?
Oh.
He and his friend, who are on the wrestling team together, are accused of having sex with his ex-girlfriend or ex-lover or something when she was too drunk to consent. And they were both accused of rape. And the best friend, the friend of him, his, got convicted. And Nate Parker didn't get convicted because he had sex with her before. So it was like, okay, you're not a rapist, because at some point she had consented when y'all were going together or whatever. And and
what
dude,
year was this?
This
1957?
1999. So his roommate, Gene, I think it's Celestin, he's the co-writer on Birth of a Nation now. So this movie, so they're still friends or something, you know, throughout all this, or at least colleagues when it comes to writing this movie. I mean, it's been almost, it's been about 16, 17 years since this. But he gave an interview with Variety where he addressed this, and he said, 17 years ago, I experienced a very painful moment in my life. It resulted in it being litigated. I was cleared of it. That's that. 17 years later, I'm a filmmaker. I have a family. I have 5 beautiful daughters. I have a lovely wife. I get it. The reality is, he took a long silence, I can't relive 17 years ago. All I can do is be the best man I can be now. So at the time, he admitted that he had sex with her but claimed it was consensual. The woman said she was unconscious and did not consent to having sex with Parker or Celestin. She also claimed that she was stalked and harassed by Parker and Celestin after she reported the incident to the police. Parker was suspended from the wrestling team and later transferred to a different college in Oklahoma. In the 2001 trial, he was acquitted based on testimony that he had previously had consensual relations with his accuser, but his roommate was found guilty and sentenced to 6 months in prison. Appealed the verdict, and a second trial in 2005 was thrown out due to the victim not wanting to testify again. She did sue the university and was ordered $17,500 settlement out of court. What's weird about this too is, what is so common. Like, it's extremely common, right? That, cause colleges, if you watch like the documentary, The Hunting Ground, or just
zero fucks about sexual assault.
Yeah, especially when it comes to athletes and stuff. Like, they will do a lot just to protect, cause they feel like protecting the athlete is the same as protecting the brand of the university.
Right.
And many universities, I mean, they just revamped Title IX, in 2016 because, so much, and I mean, which imagine how many victims there are out there that they've gone unreported and stuff. Because so much of it was geared towards universities feeling like, let's dismiss every accuser because that makes our statistics seem better. So you report this and it's like, well, don't report it, or don't worry, we'll handle it in university. And don't go to the police, and we'll take care of it. And then they do everything in their power to dismiss it. They don't get back to you. When you do keep being
belligerent,
not belligerent. That's not I was going to say belligerent, but that's not a fair word. But when you keep being adamant that, I want this person brought to justice, they'll start being like, well, what about him? I mean, you're going to ruin his life. He's in school. You know, we've seen it.
I am too, but it's like, well, fuck me though, right?
Too late for you, right? Your life fucked up, but you don't have to fuck up this other guy's life for one mistake that he made. You're really gonna fuck up his whole life? You know, he'll never be able to live this down. I'm sure there are people right now using this as an example. Right. I'm sure there's people right now using this as the example of, see, this woman's ruining his life. At any rate, so now, I mean, I don't, what did y'all even think about his, I mean, cause that's really the explanation they used as him addressing it.
This is not good.
Yeah. And then trotting out like the daughters and the wife.
That's,
to do with it.
Yeah, it's like some of my best friends are women that, you know what I mean?
You know what? Okay. So something that has kind of entered my life and consciousness in the last year or so is Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
He was a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And he did bad things. Who knows how many, you know, at the end of the day. And I feel like of all the people who did some bad shit, he is one who, I feel like now he's made a turn. Like, I feel like he's a better human now. Mm-hmm. And part of that is that he's sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the only thing.
And he served his time.
Yeah, he did. And he became a different person. And he's not, like, with R. Kelly, with Chris Brown, with Woody Allen, with definitely Roman Polanski. Like, I feel like these aren't people who are like, man, I messed up. I did or didn't pay for it legally, but my life has got to change. And I feel like the world is a better place. God help me. The world is a better place with Mike Tyson in it now, because I feel like, and again, I'm an outsider and I've only seen what everybody else has seen. It feels like it's not just lip service, but that he wants different from his life and the people around him. Now, the thing about this is, there aren't enough. It's not, he was talking about himself. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I can't live in the past. You don't have nightmares every night. There's nothing about your life that has been affected by this, except you might get a bad box office, and wouldn't that be the worst thing in the world to happen to somebody? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, no, this isn't a case of I was bad, I know I was bad, I did or didn't pay for it, you should pay for it, but, you know, man, have I changed, and let me come clean about it, and this is wrong and bad. And he didn't do that. So now I'm kind of bummed.
Well, here's my thing that I would say. I don't think Mike Tyson has ever even after being convicted, he's even said he didn't do it. Like, I think he did do it. He was actually convicted of it. So I think I don't think you can really be sorry for something you won't even admit to. And he really may feel that what he did was not rape. Which is really a big hard, that's a real big problem with rape in general, is that many people don't even agree on what it is. It's like, oh, you got drunk enough that you couldn't consent. Well, I don't see why that's a rape. I mean, you got drunk around me. What did you expect would happen? Or we had sex before. You gotta consent every time. Like, I can't just we go together and now I gotta ask, you know, shit like that. And so I don't think that, you can really have contrition if you don't like address it. But I think the arc of humanity and of public judgment always bends back towards forgiveness. It doesn't matter how outraged people get. There's always a point where people start feeling like I have to, I don't know if it's just like catharsis, like where the rest of us are like, I can't be mad for my whole fucking life, or whether it's just like, it's been long enough, so I'm letting it go. And I know it varies per person, because I know people that are like completely on some like, why y'all still mad at R. Kelly shit? And
it's, oh Lord.
Yeah, but I, you know what I'm saying? But every time R. Kelly has some new shit happen, I see these people who are like, well, yeah, I was mad then, but nigga, it's been 10 years. Like, the fact, you know, Woody Allen's never admitted to anything. He's never shown any contrition. He just never stopped working, and he stayed married to Sun Yi. So people, I think, for the most part, especially for people who are valuable career wise, like R. Kelly's valuable. He toured with Lady Gaga not too long ago. Woody Allen's valuable. He keeps people being employed. You know, art, like the art community.
Roman Polanski, he makes movies all the time. He don't never come to the awards, but he makes movies all the time.
Yeah, the art community is never going to devour him, because that's a job. Like, there's so many people who are like, you know, comedians and shit that like claim to stand for all this shit, but they're gonna take that check from Woody Allen. Of course, they're gonna take that check. And since most of them have moved on, I think society moves on. We all want to move on. No one wants to stay really stuck in an area like that. So my thinking is Nate Parker probably thought it's been long enough. It never really got the coverage in the first place. And I'm sure that
I'm good.
Yeah. Like, he probably thought I'm safe. And with the advent of the internet and receipts, well, sometimes I think it's kind of bad, quote unquote. It is now just a new reality that if you fuck up, it's forever, and yeah, it will always be brought up. And I know I didn't know about this shit.
Me either.
Right? And I don't think any answer he could have given in this interview was one that was going to make him look good.
Nope.
Like, because I've seen people be like, well, why didn't he say this, that, or the other? It's like, he got
it.
Yeah, if he would have said, I raped somebody and I'm so sorry about this, we'd still be like, man, fuck you. Like, it's no good way to say you did it. You know what I mean? Like, the most he could do would have been like a complete denial of like, I didn't do anything, which he didn't seem to want to do. And it seemed like he wanted to hint towards, I'm a better person than that now. So that brings me to this third element of it. I don't know what we do with rapists. I don't know what you do with people that are rapists, because I don't know at what point, I don't know how you, what point we go, okay, you're rehabilitated from this, or this is no longer a thing that we're gonna associate you with, or this is, you know what I mean? Like, it's a very complicated thing. Cause like, there's certain shit, like if you say I sold drugs, there's a period where people are like, okay, well, yeah, you're not selling them now. So you're, you know, I can trust you. Or you used to steal, but you don't steal now. You work and you do this. Like, some of our favorite success stories are people that were at this bottom rung of like drug dealing, drug use, drug or criminal behavior, robbery and things of this. And they come out of that and we look at them like, wow, look what you came from. Rape is just not one of those things that we view that way in society. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you were a rapist, but look at you now, man, you're doing so much better, right? At least not publicly. I think it is a thing that we in society are, it happens so common because it's happened to so many women, therefore there are many, many, many men
and that, children,
yeah,
and right there, and like that are that are also victims, but also there are many, many men that are perpetrators of this,
right?
That we have let move on with their lives, that we may have a moral objection, we may publicly call it out, but
I can't hear anything.
Oh, you can't hear us?
Okay, you're back.
Okay, I'm sorry. There are many men who are rapists that we have let move on with their lives, like. Mike Tyson's moved on in his life. Kobe Bryant was accused of rape, moved on in his life. Ben Roethlisberger's been accused of rape two or three times at this point, moved on with his life. I think as a society, we may always talk about it and we may have some public judgment, but the impact of being a rapist is really not that big for a lot of people. Like, not for talented people. We let them move on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they definitely get a pass. And just to back up, because receipts,
mm-hmm.
The Mike Tyson thing, I think that maybe he only admitted to the stuff with his wife, mm-hmm. to smacking her, beating her up, right. And I think that that's the context. So don't write me letters, okay? I got confused. I thought that he, you know, made a turnaround, and I think that he probably has. But yeah, there is a hard and fast, because you could kill almost any type of person and have a comeback story.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there is something so distant from the general public that's like, you know, I mean, if your mom mouths up, I want to kill my mother sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to say, don't you just want to rape a bitch sometime? It's like, wait.
And
like, there's something about that.
And then one of the like the sadder elements of all this to me is the original way that I saw this, and I think many people saw this, and it's allowing people to be very dismissive of it, is that I saw people angry over the fact that he had a white wife.
That ain't got nothing to do with anything.
Well, I saw people being like, oh, you make this woke ass movie and your wife white, nigga, you ain't real, blah, blah, blah. So, which is like, to me, kind of a petty criticism, okay? Like, fine, like you can be upset about that if you want to, but you're gonna be mad for the rest, you're gonna be mad a lot,
yeah.
But it was the fact that pettiness also brought up some very real shit, which I don't think is even the same type of issue, like someone being a fucking accused rapist and only getting off because he had sex with that person before, and someone being homophobic and basically it's confirmed that their own comments are homophobic, and there's no way to avoid that, to me is different than just, oh, you got a white wife, now let's dismiss all your work, let's dismiss everything you stand for. So it felt kind of like, I wish it was, because the other reason I wish it was kind of separated was because it gives people like him a way to avoid the very real critique and be like, well, these people were mad I got a white wife, and it's like,
yeah,
nah,
yeah.
Nigga, no, nigga, it's not the same, dog.
These are two separate critiques.
These are three different issues,
right? Yeah.
But of course you're gonna respond to the pettiest of the issues, which makes you seem like the victim of, like, look at them trying to drag me through the mud as a black man. Yeah, y'all don't want to see me succeed. Y'all don't want to see my movie about race. So here y'all go bringing up, I got an interracial marriage. And now y'all want to bring up this other bullshit that I dealt with a long time ago. And it's like, not really. So.
Not really. Yeah. And a lot of this boils down to, and it's, I don't, when you hear this, frustrating, Yeah, because when you talk about rape, the thing about rape is that the victim is affected forever. And people are affected forever from the other crimes you talked about, but people are more willing to forgive because it quote unquote didn't impact them. Same thing with rape. A lot of women was, well, a lot of people who've never been raped dismiss rape because the crime didn't affect them. But you also have people that have been raped and still dismiss victims.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's ingrained in our society, man. Like, we, even victims have been like brainwashed into being like, this is your fault. What were you doing? You were drinking. You were down this person's house. What did you have on? Why did you trust him? Like, all this shit. And it's like, it can do a head trip on you where you're like, maybe it was my fault. And other, and when you hear another victim story, it's like, well, you should, you're like me. You shouldn't have been down there. You shouldn't have drank. You shouldn't have trusted this person. You know, essentially we penalize women for even like being sexually available. Like, not even just active, but like the fact that someone had access to be able to steal sex from you is the same as you being a bad person, quote unquote, because sex is bad when it comes to women and good when it comes to men. Here's one of his quotes. He says, my life will be examined and put under a microscope in ways that it never was. Parker said, pointing to individuals on Twitter criticizing for having a white wife. There are numerous things that are surfacing, but I've always been an open book. I'm an advocate of justice. I'm an older man. I've matured a lot. I've had many obstacles in my life. I grew up very poor. My father passed away. There are so many things that happen. At the same time, I'm the man that I am. I'm open to the scrutiny. I will never hide anything from my past. He brought a 6-year-old daughter to the interview, and declined to speak on the specifics of the case. Look at it through the context of 17 years. It was very painful for everyone who went through it. What I learned through 17 years of growth and having children and having a wife and building a family is that we have to fight for what's right. We have to lead in love. So, and then let's see, in an email, Celestin, the guy who actually was convicted, said, this was something that I experienced as a college student 17 years ago, was fully exonerated of. I have since moved on and been focused on my family and writing career. So that's another thing.
Okay. Yeah. Can we stop saying I've experienced? What did you experience?
Right. Well, he
getting caught? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like the ordeal that it makes it sound like he went through an ordeal.
Yeah, his framing is, I was wrongfully accused and exonerated, even though, according to this, he was convicted of for six months, and then in a retrial, she didn't testify. So, and that's the thing that happens a lot with victims, where it's like, the toll of seeing your accuser testifying, the fact that he only got a 6-month sentence in the first place, you don't want to relive this experience every fucking time it comes back up. Like, in TV and shit, it just makes it seem like people have this unwavering vigilance against the people that have wronged them. But in life, especially with this being so common, people aren't human. You wear people out. I don't want to testify 27 times. I don't want to be asked about what I had on. I don't want to be asked about how much I had to drink. I don't want my sexual history brought up. You only gave him 6 months the first time.
Right. So what makes me think justice is going to be served this time?
Yeah, like the school gave me $17,500. I'll just take the money. Fuck it. I'm done. Like,
right, just to make
I'm not going to be unraped by this situation. The damage has been done, and I'm never getting justice, and it's very apparent. So then, instead of like people looking into all those factors, what they will see is, well, at least the people that want to view it that way will go, well, he was exonerated. It was overturned. The case was thrown out the second time. It's like, yeah, she didn't want to testify. So that's not really the same, you know? At any rate, I don't know what you do with all this, man. Cause like, on the one hand, I did want to see this movie, and now I don't want to see it as much.
Me either.
You know, if I'm being honest with myself, and I don't know, maybe enough time will pass before when it comes out that I will feel more like, all right, let me check this out. But I don't know that, like,
right.
This is like such a fucking bummer, man. To hear about, and I don't know how you just brush it off, but at the same time, I'm not gonna, I won't pretend that our society doesn't do that constantly for all kinds of men. So
right.
It's not like, yeah, I can easily see this movie still making a ton of money and people not caring about this shit and still getting a lot of awards and stuff of that nature. Because we have done that with so many other people that we, you know, that have either been accused or convicted of rape. So we'll see.
Okay, so here's just my closing thing
mm-hmm.
about seeing the movie. Okay, so let's say with R. Kelly, like if he, you know, if everybody was like, for real, he's gross. Let's stop. Well, it's like, well, he, you know, so many people would be out of work and It's like, they'll be fine. There's other stuff out there. He's a bad guy, creepy, blah, 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 blah. Right? Right. When it comes to this, and like, I haven't been able to go back and watch a Cosby Show, blah, 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 and I wanted to rewatch that show Glee, and it's like now because of that guy, it's like I don't want to see him and it's going to be a whole thing. With this, it's, wait, by the way, I haven't quite known what's been going on this whole time. Is he the writer or the star?
He's a star and writer.
Damn it!
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, because if he was just the writer, it's like, we need this more, and it's like, but do, this is tough.
Yeah, it's like, especially doing what...
And I know that it might seem like it shouldn't be, but it is.
Well, also doing what we do for a living, a lot of times I'll see things because I know that it's going to be in the Black cultural zeitgeist, and I mm-hmm. part of my job is making sure that those things get reviewed and whatnot. Someone in the chat was like, can't we compartmentalize? Hey man, this is just me speaking for myself. This conversation we're having is between me, Karen, and Amber. None of us is like, and speaking for the Black delegation, like I don't like people already compartmentalize shit every single day. Like people live in that constant state of, you know, while I'm watching football, I'm not worried about this dude beating his wife or whatever. So
come on now,
you know, to ask that question is almost like you're asking for a pass from the three of us or something. Like I can't grant you a moral pass on what you do with your own life. Like you have to decide that. Karen couldn't go watch Born because she didn't like what Matt Damon said during Project Greenlight.
Nope.
I got over it enough to go watch the movie, and of course I was penalized because the movie sucks, but the point being but when he came out with The Martian, I didn't go see it because I wasn't over it. Like I was just like, nope, fuck you. So, and that movie might be great. I don't know. I still haven't seen it.
Nope, and won't see it.
Yeah, so it's like everyone has their different lines and nobody can really speak for somebody else. I'll be interested to see what the box office does and what the response is, and if people try to be like, y'all character assassinated this man, or, cause I know that there's gonna be a lot of like Hotep ass dudes who are definitely gonna be like, look what y'all did to bring this Black man down, excusing whoever the victim was and whatever his crimes was, and the fact that he had homophobic comments, like there aren't Black men who are gay.
Right.
Like people will dismiss all that to just be like Black women and feminists and, oh, y'all brought this Black man down. You happy now? If this movie doesn't make a shit ton of money. And like I said, even now, I still can't dismiss. I still might end up seeing the movie for the show and to review it, but I don't know. Like right now, if it came out this weekend, I wouldn't.
Yeah, if it came out this weekend, no.
So I don't know. I don't know how I feel when it comes out, to be honest with you guys.
And it just really sucks because I remember Roger showed me that trailer with the music. It was so powerful. And it was like, okay, I'm looking forward to this. And it's like you almost ruining my anticipation to see the movie.
Right. Brilliant Villain in the chat said, oh, the Hotels are going to form Hotel Voltron to defend this nigga. I'll form the Ankh.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. Not the Ankh.
Yeah, I'll form the Ankh. That's going to be awesome.
oh, you. Thank you, Brilliant Villain.
All right, let's talk about more horrible people. Azalea Banks slams.
Oh, bless.
Yes, she slams Zayn Malik again, even though she said she was on some positive shit. And she was getting off of Twitter. Then she came back and apologized and said that she was gonna stop being so mean to everybody and stuff, and she just needed to work out her own issues. Well, now she's back and she has slammed him with some transphobic comments. Apparently she said she found a collage of photographs of him from his GQ magazine photo shoots and says he legit looks like he used to be a girl. He gives me trans man tease. She posted on Instagram. It's not the first time that she criticized the 23-year-old singer who's Middle Eastern of descent, and she called him earlier a curry scented bitch. Keep sucking.
Oh yeah, that's who she was talking about.
Keep sucking this young Rapunzel dick, you Harry Curry scented bitch. I'ma start calling you Punjab, you dirty bitch. You a dick rider for real. Ride this dick until the wheels fall off, Punjab. Banks has posted on her Twitter account. I don't know why she targets him specifically. I know she goes after Iggy Azalea, Lady Gaga, and Taylor Swift, and even Beyonce, but I don't know what this dude did to her that she, like, it's, she really can't help herself. Like,
yeah,
he'll take pictures on like just his Instagram and she'll be like, you biting my style, you bitch. Like, I took that selfie first. It's like, what? Like, nobody was taking selfies in the mirror before me.
I invented it,
right? So anyway, she's back to being trash. Speaking of wait, what segment is this in? Let me make sure this isn't white people news. Okay, cool. Speaking of trash.
Don't nobody bring me no bad news. Oh, what more? Cool.
Speaking of trash individuals, Chloe Grace Moretz shares a topless photo that she took at the beach.
And who is this?
Chloe Grace Moretz played Hit Girl in Kick-Ass 1 and 2.
Okay, I don't be knowing their real names, y'all. I'm sorry.
We recently talked about her because she said that Kim Kardashian was a bad example to young women because she took a quote-unquote naked selfie, which was highly edited and didn't show any
actual
nudity. I just find it highly ironic that she would go to the beach, take a picture of her back, you know, to let us know, like, I don't have on a top. And then say that Kim Kardashian is a bad example to little girls because she took a picture without her clothes on that you also couldn't see shit.
It was pixelated like anime.
Yeah, it feels like peak white woman feminism. Like, is for me, this is fine.
But for
anybody not me, you're a bad example. Like, that's how it feels to me. She's and the thing is, like, I don't know why she couldn't just say, I don't like that bitch Kim Kardashian.
Right. You know what, baby? And I don't mean to go on a tangent. I wish more people across social media would just say shit like that. I don't like you. I wish you would publicly come out and say it versus you wasting time in these debates. You arguing back and forth with people about semantic shit that don't matter. Just come out and say whatever your person is, I don't like you. So I can go ahead and dismiss you.
Yeah, it looked like she took the picture down, which telltale sign. But it's funny because, like, that kind of shit will make you out to be a hypocrite every fucking time. Whereas the truth in the pettiness of not liking a motherfucker, everyone can relate to that.
Everyone
has a person that they're like, you know what, it's nothing they can do that's right by me.
Nothing.
Like, I don't give a fuck. Like, oh, they gave $1 million to Black Lives Matter, fuck them. Like, I don't, yep. I still don't like that bitch, she blocked me on Twitter or whatever. Like, I get that, everyone can relate to that. But trying to pretend, like, I hate when people try to hide behind a cause,
right,
when everyone can see, yes, it's personal. It's just personal. Don't couch it in feminism. Don't couch it in what about the kids. Don't couch it,
nope,
in, just be like, I don't like Kim Kardashian. When she take pictures, I'll be like, fuck her.
Right.
When I do it, it's different because I like me, you know. Like, me having my titties out, totally different than you having your titties out, because I don't like you and everything you do is wrong. I don't understand why she couldn't just say that, because now, right, she looks stupid.
Right, and just simplify your argument so we don't have to go through the bullshit of you fussing and arguing with people unnecessarily. Just be like, I don't like that bitch, whoever that bitch is.
Yeah, you took the picture down because I guarantee you, if we would have went to whatever the comments on that picture were, it was all, but you said
right, people calling you out, you know, sometimes yeah. it's okay to have these internal feelings, but you know, because of her status and who she is, you put on social media, people gonna have a tendency to watch you, and people gonna be like, but oh, you had a problem with her, but you doing the same thing.
Yeah, this is 1,000 but you says on her account right now,
so. Right, so she took it down.
All right, let's get into some other segments, guys. All right, I feel like we covered a lot of news here. Actually, there's some major terrible news. Apparently, it's like Katrina 2 in Louisiana right now.
Oh, what's happening?
It was just rain. Like, 3 people dead, thousands evacuated by army helicopters as 3 months worth of rain overnight drowns Louisiana, leaving caskets unearthed and snake-filled water. And the worst is yet to come.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. Around 3 months worth of rain during hurricane season fell on parts of Louisiana overnight on Friday. Downpour this severe has a likelihood of occurrence once every 500 years. Rainfall will continue on Saturday. William Mayfield, 68, died after slipping into a ditch, and another man in his 50s was pulled from his truck. More than 1,000 people were rescued, and shocking pictures show the entire home submerged in water. Flooding was so severe in Walker, Louisiana, that caskets were unearthed and floated to the water's surface.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll screen share it so you guys can see what it looks like, and then I'll make sure the
is these pictures I've been seeing, like, of the roads being crushed up and shit?
This is like the top of people's houses and apartments and shit. It looks like it's
holy
in a lake.
Shit.
Oh yeah. My.
Like a big ass brown lake. Good grief.
So you sleep.
These are the caskets that are floating, because that's how much water it was that they made caskets come out of their graves.
Holy shit. So you're at the house, and next thing you know, water's just rushing in your house. Because, you know, if the water's that high, there's mm-hmm. no way you can't not see it. And my thing is, like, what about the people that can't get to the roof? What about the people that can't swim?
More than 1,000 people were forced to abandon their homes. Like I said, 3 dead as of now.
Yeah, because once the shit start, you know, getting to the point where it's like at your knees and your waistline, yeah, it's time to go.
Yeah, this is amazing, man. Yeah, I don't know what you do in a situation like this. Not everybody got the money to just pick up and move and shit. And,
right,
and
go, you know, to a hotel or some shit.
Yeah.
Why did that woman have a bin with a lamp in it?
Oh, white women. The white woman. Well, I mean,
what she gonna plug it up in?
You know, white women. White people don't. They got. More importantly, no shoes.
That's what I was about to say. All this water and them bugs and shit. Ain't no telling what Zika in that water. You don't know.
Yeah, white people do shit way different. Like, all the black people were taking full precautions. Like, this dude, he got his baby in a shopping cart. This other woman had her baby, what was her son?
He was fully dressed.
Fully dressed in protective clothing, got a plastic bag with their stuff. She's holding his hand, walking through. White people, gotta save my lamp. And I ain't got time to put on no shoes. I mean, hey, just freewheeling, guys. All right, let me start the second session so I can move everybody over, because we're limited to hour and 20 minutes in these sessions. So give me a second. It'll only take a second, Amber, and I'll migrate you over and add you back to the screen. Let's see, TBGWT with Amber P part 2. And there we go, 11, 30, there we go. All right, it'll just prompt everybody to go over in a second, guys. All right. Do. Hey. All right, let's see. Call audience to session. Okay. Prepare to go live. Gonna definitely need to do that. Go live. There we go. All right, we should be back, and I'm gonna add Karen and Amber to the screen, because of course Karen decided to take this time to go to the bathroom. And Amber, there she is. I'll invite her back to the screen as well. All right, and then we'll get started as soon as they hop back on. But yeah, man, that's a lot of rain. There we go. Amber's
here I
back.
Am. I'm adorable. Look at me, all in the dark, but still.
There you go. Now you can see yourself. See? Now you know what we've been looking at all this time.
You lucky devil.
You know what I'm saying? Come on now. Make daddy a sandwich. Now, I mean, y'all think Chloe Grace Moretz has, come on now. All right, so we also have other things to talk about, okay? I feel like this has been very depressing. Let's get us a little, we need a little bit of a palate cleanser, okay? And I understand, you know, this has gotten a little bit serious. So it's time for white people news. Now, Amber, I don't know how, I don't know if the audio is set up, for you to hear it on your side, but I'm gonna play a song. It's gonna take a couple, just play it for like a minute and then I'll let you know when we're back. Okay. But, just, if you don't hear anything, it's because there's music playing. All right. All right. So, it's time for white people news. Let's see. What is a good white people song? How about, you know what? You guys are into, oh wait, no, hold up. That's not the right one. How about we go with, this is my jam. How about this one? Oh, volume up. That would help.
Yes.
The way we live, cause we can always take but never give.
It never takes a change in for the West Sea.
Whoa, it's a crazy world we're living in.
And I just can't see it. And
half of us immersed in sin is all we had to give. A future made of virtual insanity. Now always seem to govern by this love we have for useless. Of our new technology, oh yeah, there is no sound. We all live underground. All right, let's get to these white people.
Yeah, within 15 letters, I can't never pronounce the name of that group.
Well, I think the most biggest breaking white people news right now is Brendan Dassey has had his conviction overturned.
Yes.
White people.
Ooh, you know, I don't know who the hell that is.
You win again, white folks. That's right. Y'all started a Netflix documentary called Making a Murderer.
Okay, I remember that, yes.
And the dumb boy that got caught up in the system that basically had his testimony. I mean, he got a fucked up case. Like,
yeah, they ramshacked that little boy.
Like, I legitimately do not think he did that shit. But even if he would have done it, the way that y'all motherfuckers did him was so dirty.
Yes, sir.
He had to be let go, and his case was overturned. He will be released from prison.
Now, that adult, keep his ass in jail. But that child, I completely understand that, because it was just fucked up the way they did that, baby.
Yeah, I feel like Stephen Avery did it. But Brendan Dassey, I never thought he really did it.
Mute Amber, they said they getting the echo. I
can't mute Amber.
Yeah. Hey, I hear an echo too. Wait, no, now it's gone.
Okay. There we go, fixed. Ooh. I gotta say, guys, congratulations, white people. You did it again. I'm sure Adnan is next. So,
I hope so.
Yeah, keep
it. Man, podcasts and documentaries stay winning with these impartial people starting them, and lo and behold, you're not low. That's Negro.
I'm sure Soulja Boy he'll keep.
Yeah, somebody said that. They need to do one on Bobby Smurder.
Yeah. But I mean, Bobby Smurder, he'll keep. I'm sure he'll keep. There's a lot of I don't know. I've been told a lot of innocent black people in jail. I've just heard.
A lot of brown people.
I've heard these things. I mean, the Department of Justice just released a report on Baltimore Police Department where people admitted to planting drugs and evidence. I guarantee those niggas are in jail right now. Yeah. But hey, we got Brenda Dassey out, guys. And that's really the most important thing that we learned today. So, all right.
Yeah, ain't nobody challenging the cases. Ain't nobody coming out and overturning. Like, nope. Like it's literally going to take, like, years to get some of these people out of jail. And that's if they let them out of jail, because they still might be like, fuck it. We got enough other evidence. You're standing there anyway.
Hey, maybe Netflix will look into that. Okay? Maybe Sarah Koenig. Hey, season 3. Keep your fingers crossed, guys. She's his number one, white people news. Tom Hiddleston friends Taylor Swift on Instagram.
Not friends.
And she friended him right back, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Aw, shit now.
This is some big news for white folks, okay? They are, you know, to me.
Aren't they a couple?
Yeah, they're a couple. And now they go together on Instagram, too. So, I mean, this is, I don't know, I hope you were sitting down when you heard this, because I know my head got hot. I almost passed out just now. Yeah. So sick of that bitch. Yep, she followed the 35-year-old right back, but they have yet to post snaps of one another.
Oh, this is Snapchat.
Well, then can you trust it?
We don't know if it's real, then. We don't know if it's real, dog.
We have to hope.
Be a hacker. I don't.
I feel like they're making the...
Everyone's standing for it.
I feel like they're making the appropriate steps towards Snapchat together, you know, so, you know, I know you want to take it slow, you know, so you go to the Instagram. I think first he took a picture of himself wearing a Taylor Swift shirt, but that was before they followed each other. And now that they follow each other, I'm pretty sure we'll get work. We can only hope we can get a couple pictures of them together and maybe some Snapchat action and things of that nature.
And it has to be on Snapchat because Instagram is quote unquote copying Snapchat, because now you can like take little snippets like you could on Snapchat and put them on Instagram. No, I'm talking about it gotta be on Instagram. I mean, Snapchat to really count. Not the Instagram knockoff.
I don't like him anymore now. It's not bad or weird. Now I don't trust him.
Because he's dating Darth Becky.
That's the best thing I've ever heard in my life. And yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times people have, I mean, you just, yeah, you have all these crushes and dreams on people, and then you just, reality just lets you down, you know? That's
dance and everything.
Yeah. Let's see what else happens. Oh, this is an update to a previous story we covered on White People's News.
Oh, snap.
Taylor Kinney wants to get back with Lady Gaga 1 month after they ended their engagement.
Who's a Taylor Kinney? He sounds like a country singer, but I don't think he is.
I'm so glad that you asked instead of me.
Oh, I don't know none of these folks.
Taylor Kinney apparently is an actor. Is he an actor? No, Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is an actor. Taylor Kinney is, I know he was her fiance. That may be his only claim to fame. Let me Google him real quick. He is an American actor and model. Okay.
Okay.
Known for playing Mason Lockwood in The Vampire Diaries.
Nope, didn't watch none of that.
He also played U.S. Navy SEAL Jared in Zero Dark Thirty and Lieutenant Kelly Severod in Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Medical.
I missed all that. I'm sorry, white people.
So, Taylor Kinney, I mean, I'll put his picture on here if you guys want to see it. He's a bit of a smoke show. I think you guys, sure you guys will enjoy it. See, can I make this bigger? Is that a thing that I can do? No, that is as big as that gets. Okay.
That's what she said.
Yay, hey. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, that's her.
Okay, you can see him side by side. That's neat.
Yeah, that's his. That's her man's. Here's a bigger picture of him.
Okay,
trying to wait for it to come into focus. But you know, the point being, you know, pretty good looking guy, and you know, they ended up. Now, why is that blocked out? I don't know. There's a blur for his.
Okay.
You know,
anybody need to do laundry?
The top of his penis, what's happening here?
Right, is that, does his penis start way up there? Is that what it is? I don't know.
Apparently that's the tip of it, I don't know.
Alright, well look.
Jesus, exactly. I don't like that one bit.
Oh, he chiseled.
There you guys go. So, yeah.
Doing some crunches.
Just a load of laundry under his abs.
Now these current pictures of him, I'm not so hyped about. Like these pictures of him with Lady Gaga. Like he fell off a little bit in this one. But the point being, he is, ready to get back together with her after they ended their 5-year relationship in July. But they recently started talking again. And he apparently is hopeful that they'll really get back together. Okay, I'm not gonna lie. In these pictures with her, he's giving me like gay best friend feel right now. Like the pictures don't seem that romantic. It feels like
Where they shot, yeah.
It feels like when the woman who did How Stella Got Her Groove Back got married to that gay dude, and we was like, oh, who's gonna tell her?
Yeah, we decided to break it to you.
Yeah, I'm not feeling these pictures at all, dog.
The chemistry is interesting.
Yeah, this feels a little bit like a friendship, which is, hey, that's cute too, you know? Anyway, good luck to both of those kids. Anthony Weiner is back in the news.
Well, he done did.
Yeah.
He got, catfished. Mm-hmm. Got catfished into a flirty exchange with a man pretending to be a female student. Mm-hmm.
Student, you said?
I hope in college.
Student.
Which is even sad because he's a grown ass man, but still.
I think what the elephant in the room is, he can't help himself. How many times is this nigga gonna get caught trying to fuck somebody through the internet?
And he like him young too.
And it's the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is he so trusting?
He was forced to resign from his office in 2011 after it emerged that he had sent explicit pictures to about 6 women on social media. I mean, he had a picture of his dick essentially leaked, you know, it was under the boxes, but still, like,
see if it got to hit that D for direct message.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is you would really think you navigated that situation to still be with your wife and to maintain some sort of public relevancy, because he was actually on his way to becoming a star of the Democratic Party. Like, who knows what the fuck would have happened if he could have kept his dick in his pants, basically. But it's really funny now, because it's like you would think he would be thankful to get out of that pretty fairly unscathed. Like, well, we think of him as dick dude, but we also go like, it's about that time for us to forgive him. Like, oh, it's just a shame, but hey, he kept his marriage together.
He couldn't make it to the finish line.
He had to say something. In the chat, which was obtained by the New York Post, he refers to himself as a mongoose and joked about stripping naked in his hotel room. He's married to top Hillary aide Huma Abedin. He fell into the trap during a visit to the film HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher in Los Angeles. After a series of innocent comments about California weather, surfing, and traffic, the conversation took a more suggestive tone after the person told Weiner they find high heels uncomfortable. The daily conflict between comfort and attractive goes on for Nikki on behalf of men and women of LA. I think he meant to say thank you. Weiner said he was deceptively strong like a mongoose, before saying he hoped to have the chance to impress Nikki. After saying this conversation was making him imagine stuff, the former congressman joked about breaking the television in his hotel room. Funny scene here, I moved the TV so I could hear slash see it while in the shower. I dropped it. Neighbor complained, me, towel, TV, floor, and now concierge on the way, he wrote, according to the New York Post. Nikki then replied, come out with just a towel on when he or she knocks, would pretty much equal a tip for the concierge. And Weiner messaged back, this is definitely a porn setup. He then gave out his phone number to the person. Oh, God.
Ah, so we know it's you. Can you put your home address in the text too?
A picture of you holding your identity. Yeah, go ahead.
I watched Scandal. I watched Scandal. I know that there are companies you can go through. Why is the threat, like, ISPs are so, I could find his ISP, and mm-hmm. I don't know shit about shit. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's the, I feel like it's the ego of doing it yourself. Like, he wants to feel like he got this on his own. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sure, there's discreet services, and there's people I could talk to, and there's, I guarantee you, like, hookups he could get through Bill Maher and shit. Cause Bill Maher has sex with like porn stars and escorts and shit, and he like flaunts it. I'm sure he could have done it many other ways, but he has to do it himself or he doesn't feel real, which, and these are just the times that he's gotten caught, right?
Thank you.
So at any rate, when he got caught, he said he knew it was a trick all along and he enjoyed the playful joust with an obvious catfish. Mm-hmm. Now, isn't that,
he's gonna be fine. He is going to be fine. Yeah. His career is going to be fine. His marriage is... You know how many dumb little things I've done in my life that are keeping me back from all my dreams? Like, this is stupid.
You know what it makes me think is... It makes me think of the To Catch a Predators, where the guys get caught and then they go, I knew it was a setup. I was just checking to see if she was going to be safe. I just came over here to make sure that to tell her not to do this with anybody, because another person coming up here could be a really dangerous individual. And you're like, no, you if there were no cameras here, you would have been trying to fuck a child. You have to go to jail now.
Yep. And that's the only reason why you showed up.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. That's a good comeback, though. Ha ha, I knew it. I know you think you got me, but I was playing you the whole time. That's why I gave you my phone number, told you to come over here and fuck me.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. That's how committed to the bit I am. I will give you my real phone number and let you come fuck me. That is how real I was gonna make sure. Blake Shelton.
Now I do know who that is.
That's
the country singer from The Voice.
That's right, country singer from The Voice. He is a parent.
I thought that was the LA face Compton booty.
Oh, Oakland, no, that's movie. Blake Lively.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. L.A. face with an Oakland booty. Blake Lively. Yeah.
Blake is like Taisha for white people. It's like, they all, it's a lot of them.
Yes. Yes. It can mean anything. Racist piece of shit, Blake Shelton is blasted by furious fans as historic rape, sexist, Islamophobic, and his homophobic tweets are unveiled.
Because him and his wife got I think they divorced or going through the divorce process.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife, because she a country singer too.
Well, apparently someone uncovered tweets he posted 5 years ago.
Oh, he was married then.
The posts have since been deleted. They included jokes about a non-English speaker being a bomber and a fantasy about then 16-year-old Dakota Fanning. The authenticity of the posts, which have been shared in 2011, have not been independently verified. Oh, sorry. what? Independently verified? Well, we're going to have to go to the CSI team to figure out if he said this ignorant shit.
Of Twitter. Mm-hmm. Oh. We know how great they see us.
I hope I get this many chances when I fuck up.
Thank you. Too. I'm planning some bullshit. Just
me too.
Ah, well, I'm going to be like, until the tweets are independently verified, I will not be addressing any of the accusations from people that don't like me.
But you got to check by your name. That doesn't mean anything.
Twitter users posted screenshots of the messages and accused The Voice U.S. star, 40 years old, of deleting the disgusting and extremely offensive tweets. For the record, if he would have said, yeah, I deleted them, they were terrible, I shouldn't have never said them, I would have been like, yeah, I understand that too. That's probably the best thing. Like, I like when people are like, and then you deleted it. It's like, cause it's horrible, right? You bringing it up cause it's horrible? I'm deleting it cause it's horrible. I don't even believe that shit.
Nope.
Those are terrible things to say. Anyway, the tweet read, wish the dickhead in the next room would either shut up or learn some English so I could at least know what he's planning to bomb. That was, that was 2011.
It was doing The Voice.
March 28th, 2011. I was 19 years old when my heart first got broken. I'm over it now, but I wonder what that fat, ugly bitch is up to. That was 2009. 2009 Twitter was a completely different animal, I feel like.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, 2000, yeah.
I feel like that's a rude thing to say, but,
yeah, that one felt like an obvious...
That's not up there with bomb and shit.
That felt like an obvious joke, too. I mean, I guess both were obvious jokes, but that one felt more like a... someone on Facebook would say that, or it'd be a meme or something, and we'd all laugh, but he's famous, and it's 2016 now.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So, got your ass.
2009 Twitter. Ooh, ain't quite the same.
Because to me, the irony... I don't know. That's actually a solid joke, to be honest. Because you're clearly not over it. It's showing that you're... that you're fucked, you know what I mean? The joke is that you are fucked up and it's not okay. Anyway, standing in line at a coffee shop in LA talking with a man in front of me. He orders a skinny caramel latte. I couldn't tell he was gay. Do you mean I couldn't tell him he was gay? I couldn't tell if he was gay. Anyway, so he had that joke. I guess those are about the ones they found. He is believed to have written, so I just figured out a great excuse for my sick fantasy about Dakota Fanning. I thought she was Amanda Seyfried. So, Shelton was also Amanda Seyfried is a bug eyed chick that, was in, Big Love. As the youngest wife, blonde hair, I think.
I didn't watch that.
Oh, no, she was the oldest daughter. She was the oldest daughter in there.
Okay.
Anyway, she's just known for having big titties and bug eyes.
Okay.
So let's see. Shelton was also branded a sexist for a tweet that says, I was 19 when I first got my heart. Oh, yeah, that's the one about the fat, ugly bitch.
Yeah.
Homophobic ones. Grown men who wear Chuck Taylors may as well write on their forehead, cucumbers turn me on. Okay, I guess he's saying those people are gay. So wait, I guess he knows nothing of hip hop then, because there are black people who wear Chuck Taylors. Anyway, if you haven't noticed Richard Simmons is gay, you haven't noticed Katy Perry's boobs. Most of these are just kind of like random run of the mill jokes too. Like they're not very clever.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a white dude that discovered irony. Here we go. So yeah, people were calling him a racist piece of shit. Sheldon, you know, basically deleted the stuff. Someone said you can't blame his tweets on being young and dumb because he's old then and he's old now.
Ain't that the truth?
God damn. There you guys go, man. Blake Shelton is on the hot seat. We'll see how much this catches up, because what's funny about this is you went all the way back to 2009 and you found about 5 tweets. That's wild. Like,
yeah,
that's not a lot.
Mm-hmm. You go back to 2009, you be like, well, goddamn.
I wonder what all, because somebody just don't like him and they search this shit. Right. But I wonder what else they were like, damn, got no returns on the search for nigger. Fuck. All right, look up bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we got one. Cunt. We got one. All right, look up cunt. Damn, he never said it.
Did you know they searched everything?
Look up
Is there an app or are they just scrolling through his timeline for days?
You can use advanced search on twitter.com, so I'm assuming they're just searching looking for fucked up terms that he may have used and you know, whatnot. But that's once again that won't go anywhere, because at the end of the day, what most people are going to take from that, and it's probably the truth, whoever found those tweets just has a problem with Blake Shelton. Like, it's probably they're not some sort of there's no current thing that he did that they're like, see, and it goes all the way back to 2009. It's just like, today is the day that I try to get him up out the paint, don't we all hate him? And everybody's like, retweet, and it'll pass by. Next week he'll be on TV like, yeah, I'm not addressing this shit.
Oh yeah, he'll be up there on The Voice when the season restart.
White people news. Let's see what else happened in white people news. Is there anything else? This is now we try to avoid the really tragic white people news here, but this is about terrorism. Okay, guys.
Okay.
And, you know, we never do this, but I trigger warning for white people on this one. Okay. Cause, it's that serious. Okay. Apparently at a playground in Toronto, Canada, it was revealed that, it was revealed this week that someone smeared peanut butter all over the playground.
Was it the good peanut butter? Was it that Jiffy?
Oh goodness, that's so terrible.
That ain't so. That ain't so.
It's
oh, that's so funny.
I just want white people to know that we stand in solidarity with the children that were affected in Toronto, Canada.
Especially they got any peanut allergies. Oh, all the kids that broke out.
That is exactly who they were targeting. Children with peanut allergies. And, you know, I'm sure many kids were inflamed. Some probably even had rashes.
Had to take medicine.
Yeah, we pray for the victims of what I will call 813. We pray for the victims of 813.
I'm done. I'm so done.
You know, Canada, I know y'all stood by us in our time of need during 9/11. And I feel like I speak on behalf of all America that we stand with you.
Not me.
On 813, the day of the peanut butter attacks. Because they targeted the children.
Yeah, they did.
They went after the children. And children are a precious resource, especially white children.
I mean, it is just sad. You better keep an eye out because tomorrow they're coming with the strawberry jam. Right. You know, you got to make the complete sandwich.
Like, we've had children targeted here, but they normally kill those children in mass shootings and shit.
Yeah.
You know, shoot up schools and stuff. These children have to live with this forever.
Yeah, they do.
With these allergies.
And their parents got that bill.
The memory. They can never trust a slide again.
Mm-mm. A swing set, it won't ever be the same.
You know, that little thing you hop on with the spring.
I'll send you something about when they poisoned the reservoir with gluten, but I'll send it later.
Oh, well, I hope. Don't give them any ideas. Don't give them any ideas. I mean, we do have Flint, Michigan here that we worry about, but that's not peanut butter.
Gluten, though.
Right.
Gluten
is,
it will change.
It's
your
one
life.
Thing to have horrible cancer causing disease and non-filtrated water, but it's another thing to have gluten or peanut butter and you know, this is just wrong. It's just wrong. You know, I hopefully somebody can start some fund, like some type of GoFundMe or, you know, I want to see.
Girl.
Yeah, I want to see the celebrities and stars.
See the Kickstarter.
I want to see you guys donating. You know, you gave money to Flint. You gave, which is, you know, by the way, money's about to run out. Anyway, you gave money to Flint. I think we have to give some money to Toronto to protect these children. You know, where's Black Lives Matter
they
for this?
They need a remake. Exactly. They need a remake of We Are the World with, like, modern people.
Mm-hmm.
And have those funds
for
those 17 kids.
Yeah, peanut hashtag peanut allergies matter.
Yeah, DeRay McKesson, you need to get on this, buddy. All right, I'm gonna need you to head on up to Canada and do something about this peanut butter, okay?
Yep, hashtag all spreads matter.
Yeah, Netta, Brittany, all you guys, let's go. You know, the blacklivesmatter.org. I need to see solidarity on this.
Mm-hmm.
Put aside the petty squabbles. Sean, I know you out there listening, Sean, and you got beef with everybody. You gotta let it go for this.
Let it go. This is serious.
You need to write about this. I want to see these headlines.
What's the
stories? You know, I need you to start making some of them plenty headlines that y'all use at your publication about this to spread awareness. You know, go on in the GIF feed.
spread awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Peter Pandemic, you know.
Yes!
Let's get these things investigated, guys. All right. Yeah, so
Jiff Gate, sorry.
Oh, what'd you say? Say that again?
Jiff Gate.
Yeah, Jiff Gate. Let's do this. Mother Sarah Bolton noticed the peanut butter at the Duffer and Gore Park on Wednesday morning. Oh, the horror. She was with her own 2-year-old child, Lewis, at the time of discovery, and she told the newspaper it was really just a scary situation. It would take a sociopath to do something like this, she recalled.
Oh my God.
It was everywhere. All over the hand railings, on the ladder, all over the swings, all over the slides.
The savagery. I can't put the horror. The peanuts. The butter. Oh God,
I'm to the pee.
We didn't say anything when it came for George Washington Carver. And now, look at this. The volume must have been at least 3 jars of peanut butter. It was unbelievable, she said.
3 whole jars?
At least 3 jars, Karen.
They ain't go to Sam's and buy the economy pack.
Yeah, Parks, Forestry, and Recreation spokesman Matthew Cutler, because he needed to be involved.
Ah!
This emergency. He said at Dufferin Grove on Wednesday, staff were approached in the park by a parent who reported peanut butter on the playground equipment. In this case, there was peanut butter on equipment, which was promptly removed by park staff. Peanut butter was previously reported to be on Carrollton Park, Perth Square, and Hillcrest Park playgrounds. So this is a serial peanut butter terrorist.
A serial spreader.
Mm-hmm. Yes. This, using this butter knife of terrorism to spread his evil deeds to the children of Canada.
Oh God.
Florida Allergy
jamming all the place sets up.
Cutler told the outlet peanut butter was not located at those parks by park staff.
Not yet.
But it was reported there, but they didn't find it. Food Allergy Canada said in a statement, given that even a small amount of peanut butter, if ingested, could cause a serious allergic reaction and be potentially life threatening, it's an upsetting situation for everyone. The group also said food allergies are a health concern for over 2.5 million Canadians. Imagine that. 2.5 million Canadian children who, I mean, they didn't all say peanut allergies, but 2.5 of them, exactly. they have food allergies.
Exactly. And they could have been in that park all at the same time. And then
having very uncomfortable coughing fits. Skin irritation, rashes. I mean, these are the things that affect people for their whole lives. Mm-hmm. Peanut allergy. And once again, I remind people, this trigger warning. Okay. I understand. This is some serious shit here. Okay. I know we talked about rape earlier and racial crime and, whatnot, but this is where it's at, guys. All right. Peanut allergies affect approximately 2.4% of children under 18, which represents about 167,000 kids. That's who's under the gun there. Well, under the butter knife in Canada.
Under the spread.
They are under the spread, guys. Okay. Toronto police spokeswoman Constable Caroline DeCloit told the National Post, as soon as someone calls the police, an investigation will begin. So.
Oh, shit.
The police are just waiting on that call, Canada. Who's going to be the brave Canadian citizen to call this one in for the children?
Oh, they got a whole team. What they call the peanut butter squad?
Probably the peanut butter CSI. You know, the syrup division is going to have to split up and work on this one, hopefully.
This is going to be great. This is going to come up. We're going to be like, we got us. Sticky situation here.
Oh, hold on, I wasn't ready. Hold on, Kara. Hold on, I gotta get to the sound effects. Hold on. Where is it at? Where is it at? Oh yeah, here we go. There we go.
There you go.
Yeah, then he's gonna be like, oh. looks like we're spreading our resources a little too thin.
I see it took a nut to spread this peanut butter.
Yeah! Ooh, me. My turn.
All right.
There's a lot of peanut butter here.
Yep. That's why we do what we do, guys.
Hard hit news.
Leave it to the professionals over here, all right? we only bring in the best.
Nothing but the best.
Yeah.
I'm like Gillette, the best a man can get, but don't. Use Bibble instead.
Oh, so that's not like some MC Peanut bars. Oh! Alright, so,
I bet you they roll up, they be like, was this crunchy or smooth?
Okay, hold on, going back. Alright.
I couldn't help it, I'm sorry, y'all. I know we trying to move on.
I'm trying, but, you
know. I can't help myself. No. I got them peanut butter.
I'm looking on my phone.
All right, so they can't start an investigation until someone actually calls them, because it's just a story in a newspaper, comments online, and it's gone viral, but nobody has filed a report to say that they've actually seen it. So. Whew, we staying with you guys is what we're trying to say. 8:13, a day that the children of Canada came under the scope of terrorism.
Is the number 1-800 peanuts
to call in the attack? Yeah. I don't know.
They gotta make it simple.
I'm sure it's just 911. Maybe they'll set up a special phone line. Yeah.
I just realized something.
Yes.
Hold on.
What? What happened?
She's thinking.
Okay, here we go. Ayo, I got some truth. It'll make you mad at me because I'm MC Peanut. I might give you an allergy.
Bars. And keep in mind, guys, that was all brought to you by Bevel. That's right. Those kids had a close shave with that peanut butter terrorism. But you can have a close shave every day. The first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game. Say goodbye to razor bumps. Check out GetBevel.com and use code TBGWT to get 20% off of your first month at GetBevel.com. Make yourself feel smooth. Get your skin feeling luxurious. You can get yourself a starter kit that comes with a safety razor, shaving brushes, blades, primer oil, shaving cream, and cool restoring balm. And all you have to do is go to GetBevel.com, GetBevel.com, code TBGWT. All right, let's get into our next segment, guys. A little game that, let's just go straight to guess the race. Do we really need to fuck with black people today?
Nope, we already been fucked with.
All right, let's just go straight.
Everybody wins.
Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
You messed up again. That's get. Yep. Now it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land, where we read and play news articles from across the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Amber from the Black Chick Watching podcast, and Karen actually plays one. Karen. Karen will be playing because she can't see my screen anymore. Nope. And the chat room will also be playing along, where we read news articles and you have to guess the race. And the chat room is racist, all right? So just throwing that out there before we even get into these stories. The chat room is extremely fucking racist. An 18-year-old posted a video of himself beating a girl on Snapchat, on her Snapchat.
Oh!
Mm-hmm, yep.
This happened. No, you cut out. An 18-year-old posted a video
of himself beating a girl on Snapchat.
Oh,
like beating her up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how did he do this? Because, you know,
well, I have more details.
Okay.
In this article, a man in Palm Beach County could have gotten away with a violent crime, but thanks to Snapchat, the popular social media app used by millions, he's now in jail and facing charges. According to a report by Sun Sentinel, May 16th, 18-year-old Smith Dorsett of Boynton Beach tied up a 17-year-old girl and beat her with a belt and then filmed the entire violent act on her own Snapchat.
Oh.
An arrest report said he forced the victim to unlock her phone after she refused to give him her password. Then he filmed himself beating her up on her very own Snapchat account. That is when several people who knew the victim saw the video on her Snapchat and immediately called police.
Right.
According to police, after speaking with the victim, they discovered the suspect had kept her tied up for several minutes after posting the video. According to the records, he's been held in Palm Beach County Jail on $50,000 bail. Guess the race of, what is his name? Smith Dorsett.
White.
All right.
It's sad that it's hard for me to think. I mean, that it's hard for me to choose.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me sad. But the first name is Smith?
Smith Dorsett.
Or some, that sounds kind of French or some shit. Okay, so I have my running list of things to say when I'm on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with a boy like that. He killed your brother. Forget that boy. Go find another white.
All right. The chat room says white privilege is a hell of a drug. White. Quay says blacker than black. White, slave master white, rejected football playing OJ black. That's what we call a white power play girl. White. White man who beats his girlfriends but not his kids.
Oh.
Anyway.
Oh, Jesus.
The correct answer is, and most of you missed it, black.
Oh.
Anyone, West Side Story, that's where that... Anyhow, yeah, so that sucks.
And some of you did get it. I don't know how you got it, but you got it. Here's what he looks like, if you guys want to see, which I'm sure you do. Oh, wait, damn, let me go back to this. There we go. That's him right there, guys.
Oh!
Yeah.
So... that's the guy, the face of a man who beats a woman up, puts it on her Snapchat, and then is surprised when the police show up to arrest him because you put the evidence on social media.
Right. Like, her friends, like, people like, hey, I actually do know who this is you're posting. This ain't some random person. I have a real relationship with them, of course.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. How about this one? A murder for hire plot that was featured on the show Cops is headed to trial.
Oh, shit.
Wait, where are the pictures of the perpetrators? Can I even... where's my... I might not be able to do this one. I need pictures of the people that did the crime. Do I gotta go look up the... I guess I gotta... let me Google and see if I can find her picture. I hate when this happens. Okay, that's a picture. All right, cool. I can use this. So, Boynton Beach, Florida, of course. If the state of Florida attempted murder for hire case against Dahlia DiPolito unfolds like a reality show, maybe that's because it was made with television in mind. DiPolito, 33 years old, became the key figure in a special edition of TV's Cops, which worked with the Boynton Beach police to show her allegedly conspiring to kill her newlywed husband. But this wasn't what the show that she wanted. Her defense lawyers say the entire plot was an act, and she was performing for police in an ill-conceived attempt to create content for her own reality TV show pitch. Mm-hmm. So it's not really... it's like the... Anthony Weiner defense.
That's a predator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I was catfishing y'all the whole time too. Mm-hmm. It's like we was in on it together, police. Boynton Beach department had been planning ride alongs with the cops crew for months when they said a great case appeared out of nowhere in the summer of 2009. Muhammad Shahadeh, who owns check cashing stores and delis, walked in with a salacious tip saying his former lover had asked him to help find a hitman to murder her husband. Dahlia Muhammad born in New York, born Dalia Muhammad in New York, DiPolito, her new name, which is Dalia DiPolito, must be her married name, obtained a Florida real estate license. But her new husband, Michael DiPolito, a convicted con man, said they met when he called for her services as a prostitute. He said the sex was great, romance followed, and they married as quickly as they could. Oh, so you can turn her home into a housewife. There goes that bit of conventional wisdom. I mean, unless she tries to kill you.
Lucky for me. Hey-o. I'm getting the drag card one way or another, y'all. Just let you know.
But the police informant said she wanted his money, about $250,000 worth of savings, and his $225,000 townhouse, which the new husband had paid for in cash and put in her name just days before she allegedly planned to have him killed. Damn, he's a con man that fell for this. He must have been a terrible con man. Would he take out some more insurance too, you dumbass? Yeah, that's how they get you. I seen Snapped. Detectives urged the cops film crew to come quickly. They also wired Shihade his phone and his car and had him introduce DiPolito to undercover officer Witty Jean, who would play the hitman. Cops got plenty of videos, some of which the police posted on YouTube even before the case was closed. Ooh, that seems stupid. A 23-minute conversation where she tells the apartment hitman she's 5,000% sure she wants her husband dead and promises $7,000 for the job. Damn, that's all it takes to kill a nigga?
That's all.
The scene at her townhouse 2 days later where police break the news to Michael DiPolito. The same house now surrounded with yellow crime tape where Dalia DiPolito falls sobbing onto the chest of a detective who says her husband has been murdered. Her videotaped interrogation was also filmed where she denies doing anything wrong and suggests to the detective that her husband's former crime partners could be the killers. Nowhere in recorded evidence did she tell the story that she would later bring to court. That she, her husband, and Shihade were all major fans of reality TV and were only pretending. She claims that they had dreamed up an ill-conceived but innocent video project in which she would play the part of the murderous newlywed and then pitch TV producers to hire them. Michael DiPolito and Shihade both denied his story.
Guys, I'm sorry. Something, I gotta come back. I'll be right back.
Okay.
No problem.
All right. I'll continue reading. She probably already made up her mind with her racism a while ago. She was convicted in 2011 and sentenced to 20 years in prison, but an appellate court overturned the verdict because her lawyers weren't allowed to ask jurors individually about their knowledge of the case, which makes sense because if you put out a YouTube video, that's why I said it was stupid, because you could taint the jury pool because they could be like, I saw this on YouTube. You know, and that taints my guilt. If I see it on the cops' YouTube channel, I'm probably going to assume guilt.
Sorry.
No problem. You back?
Yeah, everything's good.
All right, cool. But yeah, so she also said in the same defense in her May retrial, she said that there's a new twist. The police were so intent on impressing cops that they threatened Shihade with arrest if he quit being their informant, and that he in turn forced her at gunpoint to meet the pretend hitman. So she came up with some more evidence, quote unquote. Now why would you leave this out of your first trial but bring it up in your second? You know what she needs? She just needs Netflix to make a murderer, and it should be out. All right, guys, guess the race of Dalia DiPolito.
Okay, I got this. Mm-hmm. Hey.
All right. That sounds Latina, I'm assuming.
Yep.
All right. I've watched enough Acme cartoons to know that sound. Karen?
She made me think it is Speedy Gonzalez Latino.
Okay. All right. Going with Latino. Let's see what the chat room believes here. Plot too deep for no reason, gotta be white. Devil in a blue dress, white. Curry-scented criminal. Curry-scented Indian? Okay. Latino, Real Housewives of Cracker Valley, Middle Eastern, Good TV, white. Real Housewives of New Jersey, white. Well, a lot of you guess a lot of different things. But ironically, only one of you got it right. The person that said Middle Eastern, stand up.
Well, I knew what the jelly and all that stuff with the guy was definitely not Irish, but with her.
She was born Dalaiah Muhammad in New York, as I said. Mm-hmm. Interesting fact. And that's her. Man, she is bad.
Yeah,
she's
okay.
As a cold murderer right there. Like, if she was working in a prostitute, I see why you tried to save her, dog. You know what I'm saying? Hey, you never know. I mean, until they try to kill you, then you do know for a fact that you shouldn't have done that. But in general, you know, he was just trying to save one, man. So, at any rate, let's go to the bonus round. Where's my bonus round music? Here. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the racism in the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen and Amber are 0-2, guys.
Yeah, we're terrible over here today.
But now it's worth double the points, okay, guys? Like, things are on the line. Who will win? We'll find out shortly. Ooh. After this message. The bonus round against the race is brought to you by Loot Crate. That's right. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate filled with exclusive items from the biggest and best pop culture franchises. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT and enter offer code TBGWT to get $3 off of any new subscription. Don't forget, you can get 6 to 8 items for less than $20 a month. It comes with apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, everything. And they now have Loot Crate Level Up with Lootware. That's right. You can be a little bad when you look this good in Lootware in the Anti-Hero Collection. Mm-hmm. Featuring Vengeful, Suicide Squad, and Punisher Socks. A World of Warcraft tee you can't forsake. A Harley Quinn item for her that you'll go nuts over. And an Archer wearable that'll make you sploosh. Phrasing. Go to lootcrate.com/TBGWT. Enter code TBGWT to get $3 off any new subscription. All right. Let's see. How about this one? A woman was killed by a train while investigating the goat man myth.
White.
Okay. Amber went with white right away. This happened in Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Yeah. An Ohio woman was walking. Oh, wait. Can I just play this? I think I can play this one. All right, yeah, let's give us a second to load, and I'll just play the video, and I'll have to talk.
A woman's search for thrills ends in tragedy. Raquel Bain of Dayton, Ohio, was hit and killed by a train last night near South Pope Lake Road.
Oh, let's take time to load. Her
boyfriend survived the accident. Way Through News reporter Sharon Yu joins us now live in our newsroom. Sharon, what were the couple looking for there?
Well, Chris, the coroner tells us that Bain and her boyfriend were headed to Waverly Hills Sanatorium for the haunted tour, but before that they made a stop at the trestles near South Pope Lake Road to check out the myth of the goat man. Today I spoke with people in the area who told me this myth has taken the lives of many people over the years.
God.
Actually, it's been around for years. Even my nephews and nieces used to go and, you know, come out here.
Whether it's to see the goat man of urban legend or just for the fun of it, Denise Harris says many people have found reasons to travel up to the trestles that cross South Pope Lake Road.
The goat man, if you climb up on the trestles and they cross it, and he's supposed to come out when they cross the trestles.
Little do they know, going up there is a deadly choice.
They're halfway through here and a train comes, you either have to jump, run, or basically you get hit.
Harris says many people assume they can outrun the train.
When you're young, you think that you're going to live forever. You know, it's a euphoria. It is. You know, or they think they can outrun the trains. But, you know, that's a long way to go. And, you know, running, you can't run that fast. I'm sorry, you just can't.
She's right. With Norfolk Southern trains passing by at an average of 24.1 miles per hour, you would have to be faster than Usain Bolt, the fastest runner in the world, just to keep up with the train.
Plus, other residents say this specific area sees heavy traffic.
You know, I see a train pass every 30 minutes or so. It's shocking that you hear about so many deaths and people still go and take the risk.
Burns says she can only hope people will give it a second thought before they make the last decision of their lives.
It's sad, and I pray for the family. My thoughts are with them, but I wish that people would think about what they're doing before they do it. It's definitely dangerous.
As for the couple that were up on the trestles yesterday evening, the man told the deputy coroner in charge that they made a split-second decision to hang on the sides of the trestles while the train passed. Unfortunately, Bain couldn't move fast enough and did not make it. She died from injuries from both the train and the 100-foot fall from the trestles. But we also want to take this opportunity to remind viewers the area that people pass through to get up on the trestles is private property, and it is illegal to walk through that area. Chris?
All right. Guess the race of Raquel Bain, 26, of Dayton, Ohio.
First of all, did they think it was a movie? Like, that people can hold up their body weight for, like, minutes on end if you're not a ninja? Get out of here. She was spoiled mayonnaise on potato salad at a long-ass picnic white.
Oh. Okay. Okay, Karen.
Cornfield white.
Cornfield white. All right, let's check the chat room. Let's see what they believe. Going towards the danger. Who else but white folk? Didn't have fast twitch muscles. White. Oh, normal white. Normal white man. She's a white woman, guys. Was was looking for goat cheese from the goat man. Wiggity white. They usually save the white woman tied up to the train tracks. trying to see ghost white and just white. The correct answer, of course, is white. All right. And if you want to see what she looks like, I'll put her on screen here. But it's pretty much what you thought. Just a white woman. I like how the woman that was talking, giving the interview, was like, yeah, these young kids, she's 26. This is old enough to know. Yeah, you old enough to know better.
I did not get that.
And look at this train track. Do y'all see how high this is? These are the tracks they're on. You have to climb 100 feet to get on the train tracks.
Holy shit.
And then if some shit happens and you need to get off quick, there's no fucking way.
Oh, so that's why she was saying you don't have a choice but to try to outrun it or jump off.
Right.
Oh my god.
Holy, it's like you wanted to die.
Lean by me shit.
Lean on me.
Oh, lean on me.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
But for the record, Karen, lean on me is the black one with Joe Clark. You mean stand by me.
Oh, my bad.
Yes. And it is some stand by me.
I get the titles mixed up all the time.
That is
just like Star Wars, Star Trek.
Yeah, somebody gonna report her to fire starter for that.
Shit, she need to be leaning on somebody. Apparently, she couldn't do it on the bridge. Why it fell off?
Oh God! All right, man. Let's wrap this up with the sword ratchetness, guys.
Too much? My bad.
You guys broke even there.
I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Now for the longest sound effect ever. Mm-mm-mm. Now, hate to do this two times in a row, but this may need another trigger warning. A man attacked two people with a sword for throwing peanuts at him. So it happened twice.
Was this
guys.
In Canada too?
This is the terrorism that we're dealing with here, guys. Now this is actually in Dubai, so this is international.
Oh, they have a play. Yeah.
A man attacked two people with a sword after accusing them of throwing peanuts at him in the nightclub. The 23-year-old defendant, who doesn't hold any identification documents, was at the club. How you get in the club with no ID? Wait, wasn't there a song that started with that? I got a fake ID though. Damn, whatever happened to that kid? Yes. Doom, doom, doom. What the fuck was the name of that song? It's like, gotta be 21 again in the club, but I got a fake ID though. One, something to the two. Y'all don't know what song I'm talking about?
No. I probably do if I sit there, I thought about it.
Oh god, that song is gonna bother me all day now that I don't know.
If you don't get a post.
Oh my god, I can't. Oh my god, this is gonna bother me forever, y'all. I can't. I have to. I'm derailing the whole show because I have to know.
Cause
I'm no help. I've been there, honey.
No, it's not. This is why I'm hot. What the fuck was the name of that kid? He was homeless. He was a black kid. He was sleeping in the back of his car. He had one song. It was a hit, and then we never heard of him again. Homeless. I'm gonna just Google homeless teen. Rap hit. I don't even know what's gonna come up. Oh god. 20 rappers who used to be homeless. Okay.
Oh, you got a whole list?
You done put in the lyric, you know.
Oh. Yeah, if you're in the lyrics, a lot of times it'll pop up.
Yeah, I feel like I don't really know the lyrics very well, though.
Oh.
Machine Gun Kelly, Fat Trail used to be homeless. I didn't know that. Charles Hamilton used to be homeless. That makes complete sense. Machine Gun Kelly, DJ Quick, Tupac, Capadonna, Charles Hamilton, well, yeah, obviously. Fat Trail, Brother Ali, Schoolboy Q used to be homeless.
I didn't know
Yellow
that.
Wolf.
I only know Tupac of everyone you've said. I am so sorry.
It's all right. You knew the white person song of the week, so don't worry about that. J Electronica, Bodega Boys. Wait, Bodega Bams. Oh, okay. I thought it was like the podcast?
Yeah, that made no sense.
Pitbull, Joey Fats, Lil Kim, Karis One, Dizzy Wright. None of these are the person I'm looking for. God damn. I'm never going to remember that kid's name, man. But it was a song about something being in the club or some shit. I just can't remember it now.
Somebody say Jaquan.
It was Jaquan. That is who it was. I can't believe. Thank you, chat room. Y'all just saved me an aneurysm that I was going to have later.
Yeah, somebody said it popped up twice.
Yeah, that's how you get them is I don't even know how you spell Jaquan's.
Jkwon.
Okay, yeah.
Jkon. You spell like that too.
Jkon. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's not Jkon. It's like J. This is a tangent that nobody wanted to go on.
Jkwom.
Hey, you're on my show.
Yeah, you're on my show.
I think it was called Tipsy.
Everybody in the club get tipsy.
Yes, that was it. That was a song.
Yeah, I do know that.
I love that song.
See?
One.
I think this is just an instrumental. I don't even know why that's not the full song.
I'm about to say play the real song. We done went through all this trouble. Shit, you're gonna hear the song today, people. All
right, yeah, all right. I'll find it on find it on YouTube or something because it didn't want to play on I guess he's not on Tidal for some reason.
Oh,
all right, I found it. Give it a second to load up and it'll play. I don't remember all this drama.
Yeah. Two step with me. Yeah. Two step with me. One, here comes the two to the three
to the four.
Everybody out on the dance floor. Whoa. Baby girl ass jiggle like she want more. Whoa. Like she a groupie and I ain't even no tour. Maybe cause she heard that rhyme hardcore. Or maybe cause she heard that buy out the store. Bottom of the night, then it's got the score. If not, I gotta move on to the dance next floor. Here comes the three to the two to the one. Homeboy tripping, he don't know I got the when it come up, we do this for fun. You ain't got one stick and you better run. Now I'm in the back getting from my huns. Why she going? I'm bragging on what I done. She smoking my stuff, saying she ain't having fun. She give it back, now you don't get none.
Everybody in the club get tipsy. Everybody in the club get tipsy. Everybody Everybody in the club get tipsy. Everybody in the club get tipsy.
I admit it is. Yes, sir.
I'm just saying, man. That was worth it.
It was.
Anyway, man, back to this dangerous sword, people. So, he got in the club. Got in the club with no ID somehow. People threw some peanuts at him. He says, I mean, can you really trust the word of a man with a sword? Mm-mm. I don't think so. We told him we didn't throw anything. He told us to head outside of the club with him to solve the issue. Now, you never do that. Okay, can we just agree on that? Like, the way people solve things outside the club is pretty much always violent. I think we can at least agree. We can agree.
Well,
on that.
Now that it's quiet outside, I think we should conversate.
Yeah. Now, you know, I was very upset inside the club, and you guys hurt my feelings, and I wanted to step outside and let you guys know. So
all that bass, it's hard to connect.
Yes, my ego got in the way, and I really wanted to come outside to apologize. Oh, the sword. Don't worry about that. So apparently an Indian friend of the two Emiratis said, as they went outside, the defendant followed them. Then I saw him and about five others reaching for swords and knives they had inside their vehicles, adding the defendant attacked the two Emiratis before fleeing.
Oh.
He had five other friends.
Five other ones, dog.
He hit me on the left arm, and when he was about to strike again, I tried to avoid the sword, but it injured me in the chest. My friend was then attacked and injured in the left hand, said the 39-year-old victim, whose friend lost the use of his left hand as a result of the injury, suffered an attack.
Oh.
Yeah, these things get serious really quickly. The defendant was not present in court to face charges of physical assault, and the next hearing will be August 4th. It was not clear why the case took 3 years to reach court. Because y'all don't take sword racks really seriously. God. Yeah. You don't take shit seriously when it comes to swords, and so apparently it's completely okay to do that. All right, guys, make sure.
At least it was only a left hand, though.
You son of. Really?
I didn't say that.
This is why I'm going to stop inviting right people on the show. Okay?
Aww.
Because y'all don't respect the safe space that I've created here for left-handed individuals. Y'all always had to come in and try to center rightness around the entire show, and we're sick of dealing with y'all shit. Okay, so it's gonna if I didn't learn to love you despite the fact that you're so anti-love, I wouldn't tell people to be donating to help you get to Dragon Con, but that's what left people have to deal with every day. Make sure you guys check out Ever's show, Black Chick Watching, and no other show that she has. She doesn't have any other shows. And also make sure you guys follow her on Twitter at Black Chick Watching.
Just Black Chick Watch, like the thing you wear on your wrist.
Yeah, just Black Chick Watch.
You have three extra characters.
My bad.
Black Chick Watch. Shout out to Spreadsheet.
Do you want them to follow you at the other one too, or just that? Personal. That. All right, just that. So Black Chick Watch everything, y'all. Black Chick Watching.
And blackchickwatching.com.
Mm-hmm. .com. Blackchickwatching.com. Black Chick Watching Podcast. Black Chick Watch on Twitter. Look, I'm a fan of watching black chicks. All right? I mean, I haven't even been watching the Olympics, really, but every time a black woman wins something, my timeline let me know, and I go specifically watch that.
Me too.
Yeah, I feel like the white people at the Olympics got to feel like, come on, man, what's left? Like, what are y'all, the fuck are y'all coming for next? The Winter Olympics? Jesus Christ, shot put? We don't got nothing.
Yep, we coming for it all.
Right. That woman won shot put, and she was bad as hell in that red dress.
Wouldn't you though?
I was like, what
wasn't
the?
She though?
It's not fair, man. It's not fair.
Go ahead, big girl.
You know what I'm saying?
Big girl, too. I was like, yeah.
Big fine is what we call them, and it wasn't fair. It's just not fair, man. This she threw that she set that record in shot put, and then she was like, and also setting it off on this red carpet, and she a makeup artist too in real life. So like, man,
God damn,
amazing.
And her daddy won like the silver in Olympics years ago, doing the same thing she's doing.
Jesus Christ, she's amazing,
ain't she though?
For real, man. I've been staring at this picture of her all day. Everybody keep retweeting, and I just be like, thank you for the retweet. Another reason to look at her in this red dress. Laid. At any rate, man, make sure you guys check that out, and we'll be back tomorrow with more of this podcast. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.